The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Oh, you didn't know? It's me, it's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Road Radimal. What a rush.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang.
I am the genius full of glory and renown, Lanny Poppin.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Mariette.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
The world is listening. The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's true! It's still true!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
He's got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right. Good evening, guys. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live. Of course, I am back, as you heard in the intro. Back in the saddle again is one JJ, all caps, Sexay, Mr. Money on the mic, if you will. It's been a few weeks, but I'm back. I'm ready to kick some ass in the world of internet radio, especially right here on Wrestling News Live. We've got a great show ahead for you guys tonight. We're going to be discussing Monday Night Raw a little bit later on with the Bronx Father. That's right, Don Bronx joining us for the Raw recap. We're going to be running down the latest news of the week, sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. Going to be taking phone calls and your emails later on in the program. You can send those emails to wnlshow@yahoo.com. But before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of Wrestling News Live, the founder, if you will. The Dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
Don't piss me off!
Hey,
Well, well, well. Look who has finally returned to Wrestling News Live. Welcome back, partner. How are you?
It's good to be back, man. I'm feeling good tonight. Feeling good.
I am feeling a little, what's the word I want to use? I'll just say I've got a very short fuse tonight.
Well, that's never good.
For any shenanigans in the chat room. That's because I've been in there all night, though. So I'm kind of, at this point, burnt out by stupidity.
He's putting you motherfuckers on notice.
He's putting you on notice. That's right. That's right. But good to have the entire Wrestling News Live family back together tonight. Don Bronx joins the show later on for the Raw recap. An interesting Raw to recap tonight. I thought that was one of the better shows I've seen in a while, especially for the fact that WrestleMania is literally 41 days away. And you know, there have been years in the past recently where we've been weeks away and gone, what the hell? What are we going to see at WrestleMania? You know, not so much this year. They're really letting us all know in well in advance what we're going to have as far as a WrestleMania pay-per-view, because it's looking like Rock Cena, you know that. Punk Jericho, we now know that. Looks like they might be setting up something between the Big Show and Cody Rhodes, as a matter of fact. I know that there's Triple H and The Undertaker. We'll discuss that, I'm sure, in depth later on. And I'm thinking something's going to go down between the general managers. Shaquille O'Neal has already been very vocal about being at WrestleMania. Not sure what his role will be. It looked like we all thought it was going to be him and Big Show, but who knows? It could still be. I know somebody who probably won't be at WrestleMania, and that's going to be Wade Barrett after tonight. Unless all reports are wrong and my eyes deceive me, I'm pretty sure that Wade Barrett broke his arm tonight.
That's never good.
I think that the spot was planned. I just think the execution was a little lacking. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. SmackDown, of course, live tomorrow night for you SmackDown junkies, unlike myself. But just, you know, all in all, a good show tonight. Good to have a good Raw to go on the air after for a change.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, we'll bring the Bronx father on a little bit later on to talk about it, but I watched the show tonight. I thought it was an interesting show, and who would have ever thought it would be so easy to goad The Undertaker into a match? I mean, all you got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is tell him, well, he's not as good as Shawn Michaels. That's all it took, oh, Taker. That's it. That's all you needed to do.
That's kind of been a running thing in his career. I mean, ever since Shawn left the first time, I mean, a lot of people, when Shawn left the first time in the Attitude Era and Triple H took over as the head figure of DX, you know, a lot of people did that then. It was a big thing when Shawn came back. That was the reason for Shawn coming back 5-6 years later. And it's always been kind of a splinter in the backside of Triple H, the comparison to Shawn Michaels and who's better. And I mean, if you got to be compared to anybody or you got to defend your honor against being better than anybody, what a great guy to be compared to.
Amen to that one.
I mean, if everybody said, Trey Dog, you're no Jim Ross every day, I'd be flattered. You know?
Trey Dog, you're no Michael Cole, I tell you that.
Well, I know how I hate to start off on a bad note, but I'd get most people's ass whipped.
Well, guys, keep in mind, Trey Dog not in a good mood. You better mind your P's and Q's in the chat tonight. He might put the band hammer
today, but it's just like everything that every time I turned around today, something happened that just was a test from God, I think, to piss me off. You know, it's just one thing after the other, and I had to drive all the way. I say all the way. It's only about 35, 45 minutes drive time in the car to Owosso just to go to their Walmart and get a copy of UFC Undisputed 3 for the Xbox today.
I've been to Owosso before.
It's a good city. It's a great place. I wouldn't mind living there, but my sister lives there. But from my apartment, it's about 45 minutes. But none of the video game stores in town had it. None of the red boxes in town had it, so I couldn't even rent it there just to try it out. If I wanted to play the damn thing, I had to drive all the way to Owosso, and they only had 3 copies left themselves. So, it's just been a long day. And the fact that I got home and I haven't even opened the son of a bitch and put it in my Xbox yet.
Well, we know what you're doing after the show.
Driving to work and then putting it in my Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, see, there you go. But bottom line, after the show, you will at some point play UFC Undisputed.
And I'll tell you the reason why I got this game, because I played the demo. I thought it was kind of cool. But here's the selling point on that game. And Horseman sold me on this. We're going to put a stable together. But and it'd be cool if you could do this in wrestling. But on the new UFC game, you can have your own online dojo / group or camp. You know, you have 5 or 6 guys that are in a group together, and you can train against each other all you want, and it doesn't affect your win-loss record. But then when you go and have a match, it affects your win-loss record. Then you come back and train with the guys that are live and actually in your stable or in your group. And you can all have the same matching trunks with matching logos and matching sponsor banner behind your head. You know, I just like the fact that, you know, you can actually get in a group with real people, you know, and actually have a faction type thing.
Right. I've yet to play the game. It's on my list of things to do, but I got to be real honest, man. I've been spending a lot of my time trying to play through Fallout New Vegas. I beat it once.
No, I see you on there all the time, and I'm like, what's he doing playing that again?
Oh, well, see, I've beat it once, but now I've gone through it at a crucial moment, and I'm going the other way. I'm wanting to see what happens if I make these decisions, and I'm really just exploring the whole area before I beat the game a second time. But I'm having a blast with it right now.
And I suggest, if you're one of those people that likes to buy used or buy off Craigslist, I would buy this one new because it comes with a code that gives you... I hate to say, I don't know how they put it, but you get better knockouts, better, you know, more realistic knockouts. You'll get more content if you buy it new.
Okay. But more than likely, I mean, it's rare that I buy a used game. I mean, I do sometimes, but mainly I've always bought brand new. I like to support the developers, so...
Right, and these are our boys at THQ. And Horseman even told me that it's ironic the game being a THQ game, but that the servers where you go and download things like you would for WWE 12, their servers work great.
Well, see, I heard that there were some problems with that, but they've done a couple updates and they're trying to get everything squared away. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened with WWE 12, but the server is – I haven't touched that game in probably a month.
Well, according to Horseman – he got on there the other day, and the servers worked great for about 4 hours. And he said he downloaded like 2 hard drives worth of crap off the servers. And he no more than told me that, and I went to put it in, and I couldn't even get on.
Well, that sucks.
So it just depends, I guess, on the time of day. I know that we have found that the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning time frames are really good, so...
It's just so early. I mean, you know, or late, really, if you want to look at it that way. If you stay up that late, you know... Can't
I'm usually
that.
At work, so.
Yeah. Doesn't work for me, buddy. Doesn't work for me. But so what do you want to start things off with? Should we go ahead and hit the news of the week, or what do you want to do?
Well, I think with Bronxy, what we need to start trying to do, because he has things to do on Tuesday, we need to try to do the Raw recap right off the bat and then save news and swap those.
All right, so you want to bring Bronx on?
Yeah, that'd be great. If he wants to call in now and do his thing. And again, a great Raw tonight. I'm anxious to see what everybody thinks grade-wise. I know it'll all be a little different, but, you know. Oh, and speaking of video games, I want to do a audio retraction.
Oh, no.
I had said that, you know, I heard all this great stuff about Skyrim or whatever the hell it is. Skyrim?
Yeah, I call it Rim Job. Yeah, Skyrim.
I had heard that it was this awesome game with, you know, all these hours of gameplay, and you'll never get tired of it. And I got a buddy in real life that lives here in Claremore that works with my brother that just loves it. But I looked at it, went to buy it, and I saw that it was a first-person view game, and I can't, other than Modern Warfare 3, I just can't play those. Well, I found out from the guy that works at Game Exchange that there is a way to go into the game and set it to a third-person view.
Yeah, it's a lot like Fallout. You could do that with that as well. You could switch from third-person view to first-person view, which I do all the time in Fallout New Vegas.
I also just recently repurchased. Well, I repurchased. This is the first time I bought this. I got it for $10 at Game Exchange, I think. Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare. I just got it, so I'm back to playing it online. I had a blast playing it online last night, and there was only like 6 people playing on the free roam that I was on. But you know, just shooting people and running and hiding and. Then I went and found the sniper rifle so I could pick them off from a distance. That was great.
Very cool. We'll have to get our posse online again here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and go to the phone. Let me get this set up. I believe joining us, we have the Bronx Father, Don Bronx. What's going on, man?
Why so violent, Trey?
I haven't been violent yet. Don't piss me off.
It's coming.
Well, I'm with you tonight because for some reason I'm turning into a heat magnet. I guess it's a business.
I told you before the show. What'd I tell you? Am I not right?
Yep.
All right, then. Just stick with me, kid. I'll have you farting through silk in no time.
We don't want her to steal Natalia's gimmick now. Come on.
Yeah, no shit, right?
I'll start calling you Skidmarks. I don't want to do that. I mean, we're looking for a nickname for you, but Skidmarks just doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, I don't think you want to be Skidmarks.
I'm thinking of just going with Bronx Father. I think Trey nailed it on the head.
He usually does.
Yeah.
Well, Bronx, are you ready to hit some Raw points tonight? And before you do that, let me go ahead and hit that all too familiar Raw theme music. With that Eve Torres.
What's up with that hard girl shit in your pants?
Now it's time for the Raw recap with Don Bronx.
Well, Raw started off with Eve kind of proving she's a bitch in the back with the Bellas, saying she used Ryder and laughing and, again, just being a bitch. And, of course, Cena comes out and says what happened last week was, you know, he basically buried Eve and she comes out trying to apologize, and Cena's not going to have it, and he calls her. I can't remember what he called her. He called her a hosky.
He said broskies before hoskies.
Right, and that was trending on Twitter, followed by a match, Sheamus against Mark Henry, and wow. You know, Sheamus goes over with the bro kick. We see in the back after that, Teddy Long with David Otunga and, of course, Johnny Ace. Ace basically says all he cares about is the board and announces a 10-man battle royal. Then we have another match, Truth, R-Truth, and Kofi Kingston versus Epico and Primo in a non-title match, and Truth and Kofi go over. After this, we have Ron Simmons announced for the Hall of Fame, which is, in my opinion, well-deserved.
You know what? I am extremely pleased that Ron Simmons is finally getting his due. You know, I watched WCW back in the early 90s. I was a big fan of the tag team Doom, you know, when old Teddy Long used to manage, old Peanut Head, if you will, used to manage Butch Reed and, of course, Ron Simmons. And when they broke up Doom and Ron Simmons went on his singles push, you know, he beat Vader in 1992 and was considered the first African-American world heavyweight champion, especially for WCW. And I thought he had a pretty good run. It was short-lived. But I liked Ron Simmons in that role. And, I mean, the early WCW, early 90s, was a pretty good run for him. He never, unfortunately, got to get any world championship matches in the WWE. And, you know, he was kind of a joke when he debuted in 96 as Farouk and wore this stupid fucking, oh, what was it? Almost looked like a styrofoam helmet that was painted blue and the stupid gladiator outfit. And, you know, the best thing he did in the WWE had to have been the APA, which they highlighted, and I'm glad that he's going in. And I almost feel like they should have done it last year when they were in Atlanta, Georgia, or whenever it was they were in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, I would like to see JBL induct him. I think that would be really appropriate.
And I think that's who's probably going to do it. I would think that of anybody, I mean, there's two possible people. You could do Teddy Long, but there really wouldn't be that much to Teddy Long doing it. Based on their long-term affiliation. You know, you could even bring in Butch Reed based on their affiliation, or you really could go that route and bring back JBL, and I think that's probably the route they're going to go.
Yeah, and I hope so. I mean, it would really be appropriate because as the APA, they were really a dominant, you know, force, and the fans loved it. I used to love when they were taking money to take guys out. It was so great. But, you know,
I'm looking in the chat room, and Farley says, don't forget the Nation, JJ. When the Farouk was in the Nation, it was forgettable. It wasn't until The Rock kind of took over the Nation and got rid of Farouk that the Nation domination was a force to be reckoned with. So I don't really consider his run with the Nation that noteworthy there, Anthony. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the Nation was, you know, it was. I don't think they're going to even mention that in the PG era because it was so controversial. But our next match, we have David Otunga versus Ezekiel Jackson with Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis at ringside. And man, Zeke, how you fall and Otunga wins. I mean, quickly, you know, Zeke is like, I don't know what their plans are with this guy. I mean, he's a big guy. For a while, it looked like they were going to push him. And now, I mean.
Well, you know, and Harmon and I were talking about this earlier. I think that's what happens when, you know, because they were pretty high on pushing Zeke, and then he got injured, and he came back from injury, and they haven't done a damn thing with him. He's, you know, he's become Santino, and then now Santino is trying to become Ezekiel. I don't know. They're really switching things around on Raw. Have you noticed? I mean, and I'm still very leery about that whole Santino thing. I know a lot of people loved seeing Santino in that role last night, and he did provide some pretty interesting moments in the Elimination Chamber match itself, but I think my issue with having Santino put there is that you spent the last couple of years making him a laughingstock. That would be like, again, taking the Brooklyn Brawler and putting him in a World Heavyweight Championship match with The Big Show, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, all at the height of the Attitude Era, and somehow he manages to outlast all of them and almost beats the World Heavyweight Champion. I mean, it almost makes Daniel Bryan look weak for not being able to put Santino away as quick as he did. But they need to make up their mind on what they're going to do with the Santino character because they made him a little too dominant in the ring last night. Tonight, not so much.
May says they tried to do a Jeremy Lin thing with Santino. No Lin sanity. Not on this program. JJ probably doesn't even know who that is, but that's.
I've heard it going around a little bit. I know a little bit.
He's a Rudy Rudiger kind of story. Came out of nowhere and got his chance to be the starting point guard for the New York Knicks and has been on fire. Scored more points in his first 10 starts than any player in basketball history.
Yeah, but they're putting too much pressure on the kid. The media, the fans, you know.
We could do a whole segment about that kid, but we won't. So let's just get back to Raw.
We have a segment where The Undertaker comes out, and this was brilliant. Second week in a row, brilliant segment. Taker comes out, and, you know, he didn't really play The Undertaker tonight. I thought he was more or less playing Mark Calloway. You know, he came out, he really spoke from the heart and says, you know, Triple H, you're being a coward. You know, I got to beat you after what happened last year. Triple H comes out. Of course, he, you know, refuses at first. Undertaker basically says, you're never going to be as good as Shawn, which, again, that was a personal shot. And during this whole segment, Triple H reiterates, I don't want to be the guy who ends the legacy of our era. I don't want to be that guy who takes you out. And, I mean, after Undertaker gets really personal, Triple H comes back and says, you want me? You got me. One condition, Hell in a Cell. And business at WrestleMania has just picked up because they're announcing this as, you know, Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. Triple H against The Undertaker. And when Taker left, it looked to me like he was kind of thinking, oh, shit. You know, did it look like that to you? Like he kind of was regretting almost. You know, I think where they're going to go with this is where Taker's going to doubt himself now, saying maybe I bit off a little bit more than I can chew.
Well, you know, and that's a good point. I mean, as far as my take on it, when Undertaker first came out there and started cutting the promo, I wasn't real impressed with what he was saying. You know, Triple H comes out, they have a nice little back and forth. You know, The Undertaker saying it's the apocalypse to me is you know, quite funny because I don't, you know, here
it
we are.
For that era.
Well, for the era, maybe, but, you know, I feel like here we are for the third time. Now, the fact that it's now in a hell quite a bit, because if you think back a match that was set up between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, in which Kane debuted, and this was, but somewhere down the road, that match became Triple H's match. So the fact that we've never seen Triple H and The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell before has got me excited because, I mean, the tagline is, who's really the master of the match? Triple H has won more Hell in the Cells than The Undertaker has, and Taker has lost more Hell in the Cells than Triple H has. So I'm intrigued from that story point alone.
It's too bad that they used the whole reference to Old Yeller during the Shawn Michaels Ric Flair Mania match, because it almost, it felt to me like Triple H was saying, I don't want to be the guy that shoots Old Yeller.
Right.
You know, I know me, and I've even kind of used this before when talking shit in a fight, but I know me, and I know that, you know, you and I are going to have a hell of a fight. One of us is going to win, one of us is going to lose. But after last year, after going through it with you once before, I know that I have it in me to beat you. I know that I can do it. I don't want to be the guy that does it. I don't want to be the guy that blows out the candle on the era that we represent.
Well, my thing is, like, did Triple H accept too soon? I mean, I wasn't expecting him to accept tonight.
Well, I wish he would have come back to the ring. He already did it. He did it once and said, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to, you know, goat me into this match. I wish when he went back to the top and they said the thing about Shawn, he would have came back and said something along the lines of, you're right, I'm not Shawn Michaels. Because, of course, they're pretending like that first match between the two of them never happened. But he could have said something like, I haven't lost to you twice. And, you know, I'm not going to let you end my career or something, you know. Because he already said, I know what you're trying to do. Well, if you did, why'd you let him do it?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, well, I like how it went. Don't get me wrong. I'm not internet bashing the Raw program for what they did tonight. I'm just saying, I, like you, would like to see them draw this out a little bit longer. And kind of leave you guessing. I mean, it almost at one point during Triple H's first spiel with The Undertaker tonight, it was almost like he was going to say, you know, I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be the guy that blows out the candle in our era. However, you know, I am, you know, trying to keep the business alive in the future, and you're the leader. You're the locker room general. You know, if you want a match at WrestleMania, you should give the opportunity to one of these kids coming up, is what I felt like there for a second. You know, I thought for a second there he was going to, you know, swerve us and say, you know, why don't you wrestle somebody like Dolph Ziggler or something like Chris Jericho, or, you know, even though Jericho's not an up-and-comer, but somebody that he hasn't wrestled before. And they didn't go that way. But all in all, at the end of it all, I'm happy with where they went. And, you know, I won't lie, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. I was captivated. I was interested. And now that it's in the Hell in the Cell, I'm even more interested in this match. It sucks at the end of the day being a Triple H fan, because I know, just like Sean late in his career, when it comes to a title match, he's going to lose because he doesn't want the belt. Well, same thing with being a Triple H fan in an Undertaker match at WrestleMania. You know he's probably going to lose. So I give them kudos for making it interesting, because they almost make you think that, you know, Triple H can end the Undertaker streak. But will they let him do that? Probably not. Which means if he doesn't do it this year, somebody will be back next year to try.
Well, what I liked about it, like I said, is that Taker didn't really play off the dark dead man gimmick. You know, he came out and he spoke from the heart, almost to the point where it was like, you know, he's a real person. He's not the dead man here. He's talking from the heart. And that's what I loved about the segment.
Well, and, you know, that's kind of what Triple H said. He goes, at the end of the day, I'm going to go on doing what I'm going to do, and you're going to go on doing what you do. You know, I mean, there's got to come a time where you separate the gimmick of the Undertaker and the person. You know, there's nobody out there that really believes he still drives a hearse and sticks fucking embalming fluid in people. You know, I mean, it's not legit.
Right.
You know, it's just dumb to think that way. That's why I was always a big fan of Biker Taker, because I bet you my paycheck, at the end of the day, Biker Taker is more like the Undertaker in real life than anything else.
I'm with you. I kind of like the Biker Taker. I mean, I was at the Garden when he was playing the Biker Taker, and I thought it was kind of cool.
I didn't like the whole rolling Limp Bizkit shit. I like the American Badass.
Yeah.
You know.
But moving on our Raw recap, we had Santino Marella versus Daniel Bryan, and JJ, you can say it, Santino taps
like Danny fucking K, because, you know, he's not a black guy. I want to be politically correct on this show. I can't say that Santino was tapping like Sammy Davis Jr. or Gregory Hines or anybody else. He was tapping like Danny fucking K, all right?
Like Fred Astaire. Tap dancing like Stewie Griffin.
He's tapping in the ring. Just tapping in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not the last we see of Santino, which was interesting, but yes, he taps like, well,
Danny fucking K.
Pick your favorite tap dancer here. Next in our piss break, we had the Bellas beating Oksana and Kelly Kelly. With the LaBelle switch, of course.
This was a piss break for me, literally.
The Bellas switch. Where the fuck did I come up with LaBelle? The Bellas switch. You know, they did their classic twin shit, and they win.
Called twin magic there, Chief.
Classic twin magic. Shit. I like that.
Yeah.
We should use that from now on. The classic twin shit.
The classic twin shit. That's got WWE creative all over it. Tonight we're going to have a match with the Bellas and Kelly Kelly and Alicia Fox, and the finish is that famous twin shit.
It's just that I don't, you know, I don't pay enough attention to the women's division in the WWE to even get the names of the shit right. I mean, it's like, oh, God.
It's not that you don't pay attention. You just really can't see it all that well.
Right.
Well, I mean, when you're blind in one eye and can't see out of the other, it's hard to keep one eye on the TV and one eye on the paper to write down shit, so I understand.
We forgive you this time.
Next, oh God, again, Cena comes out and rehashes the same thing again about how The Rock's
now,
not there.
How can you How can you talk shit about that segment when he said everything you motherfuckers in the chat room said from day one? The Rock said he was going to be here. The Rock said he wasn't going to leave us. And then he left again. And oh, he brings it via satellite. You motherfuckers in the chat room said the goddamn same shit for months as a running fucking joke after The Rock left, and now because Cena says it, it fucking sucks. Y'all need to make up your goddamn minds and fucking go with one or the other.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not even so much that, Trey. Cena comes out and is talking shit on The Rock again about his movies, about... Well, yeah, bitch, you're talking about his movies because your shit is straight to DVD. This motherfucker has the number
John
one
Cena
movie.
John Cena never got into wrestling to be a fucking Hollywood actor. He's only doing movies because they're WWE films and he gets paid by the WWE to do them. He doesn't give a fuck if they go straight to garage sale. He's getting paid.
Well, but at the same time, The Rock didn't jump into this to be a movie star. He did it because he wanted to do what his family had done before him, because he didn't want to do football. He wanted to try out the family business. And then somewhere along the line, you know, TV deals started to come in.
I mean, let's be honest. The Rock's fucking movies haven't been the greatest fucking movies either.
Well, he's doing pretty damn good right now.
Well, he gets paid well because they're made by major motion picture companies. But you know what? He still put on a fucking tutu. He still played a gay man. He's not exactly hitting home runs with his fucking movie
role. Hold on a second. I actually liked Be Cool because I thought it was different. It was a different element to his character. The fact that we saw him singing Ain't Nobody Gonna Take My Man Away From Me. And I thought The Rock did a fantastic job. Okay, Doom, I'll give you that one. That was cinematic shit.
What's the movie where he drove around in a goddamn car killing people that was so predictable my penis could have written the script?
Wasn't that Faster or something?
Now, Walking Tall was good, but it was a fucking remake. It's not hard. It's kind of hard to fuck up a classic when you follow it damn near script by script.
Well, it wasn't really followed script by script, though. It was a completely different movie. It was based on the original, but it was completely different.
Right, the premise
was the same. Yeah, to a degree.
The rundown was okay. I liked the rundown.
See, I'm one of the few people who actually, I like Doom. I hate to say it.
Oh, fuck me in the morning.
Well, goddamn, you didn't see much of it, so it's okay. You can believe that if you want to. Look.
Yeah, those of us that watch things in 3D and high def, what do you watch, 1D?
Listen, Brox, I remember when that movie came out in 2005. I got a free movie pass to see a screening before the movie even came out in theaters. Went to the theater with a packed house, walked out of it and said, well, fuck, that's money I'll never have to spend.
Don't get me started on that fucking Mummy Scorpion King where he was supposed to be this badass, but he was all fucking CGI.
He had 5 minutes of the movie.
I paid to see The Rock. I got to see him for 5 goddamn minutes.
At the very beginning, the tale of the Scorpion King, and that was it. And the first line out of his mouth, he was talking about fucking Haku. Haku Masente!
Hakuna Matata, motherfuckers!
I would have agreed if we actually would have said Hakuna Matata. And then, you know, Timon and Pumbaa would have fucking come out. They would have had the Scorpion King, you know, Hakuna Matata
Scorpion
dance.
Scorpion King versus Lion King. I can see it now on Capcom.
Mufasa is my bitch!
Now, Gridiron Gang. Thank you, CJ Styles. That was a good movie. But for the sake of what we're talking about, yes, Cena's movies are... straight to DVD. But I will tell you this. You can laugh at me. You can talk shit about me. I'll sleep fine tonight. I promise you. I have enjoyed some of Cena's work in movies. I've enjoyed some of The Rock's shit that he's done. But neither one of them to me have had a James Bond-esque fucking role dropped on him. So Cena does what he gets paid to do by the WWE. The Rock does major motion pictures, but does shit parts. So it's not like The Rock is the next fucking James Bond. He might be the next Roadblock, and that's a step in the right direction.
Right.
But it's not like the fucking Rock is getting an Academy Award any fucking time soon either.
You never know. I mean, it's just, I'm just tired of Cena, you know, not coming up with any new ammunition. I think that's my problem.
But he used the ammunition the IWC gave him. The IWC said the same shit. They cried, "Where's the Rock now? He wasn't going to leave us. Oh, my God, he's bringing it via satellite. I'm so sick of the Rock's promos when he's not there in person." And then Cena goes out and talks about it. And you shit-can him for talking about the same shit you said.
Well, actually, we've all been shit-canning him for about the last year because he's done it every promo since last year.
I agree, he could come up with some better shit, but it's also coming from backstage and Vince McMahon. John Cena's not writing these promos.
No, but again, the whole point of him coming back is to put over fucking little John Cena so that he can fucking finally get somebody from the Attitude Era that fucking meant something to put his ass over.
I don't know that it ends that way in the first one. I got a feeling they stretch this out for another Mania.
Well, they're talking about The Rock and Cena possibly having possibly three matches. You know, they're talking about The Rock being booked through SummerSlam. So, you know, who knows where this is going to go. Now, here's the thing. If you have more than one match, it's possible. It's possible. And I know everyone's going to shit on me that Cena doesn't go over at WrestleMania.
Well, I was getting ready to say to JJ, look, you know how many times we have been dead set, this is what's going to happen, and the WWE went, oh, really? Watch this. I would not be surprised whatsoever to see Cena take a fucking Rock Bottom, get the people's elbow, and get pinned 1, 2, 3 at WrestleMania, and then beat the Rock at SummerSlam, forcing a grudge match at the next WrestleMania.
Now, see, I would have believed that a little bit more had they gone a different direction last night at the Elimination Chamber. For example, had Kane gotten the better of John Cena last night, and John Cena went into WrestleMania doubting what he can do, knowing he's up against The Rock, I could have seen that scenario. But once again, Super Cena is back. You know,
see, but it's because of that I see it the other way. I see Cena going into Mania all confident like he was tonight, blowing kisses to The Rock, and I'll see you next week, and blah, blah, blah. I see him going into Mania thinking he's got this shit licked and getting beat and going, goddamn, he may not be here every day, but he does still bring it.
Well, see, and that's the thing, though. When he brings that argument up, well, I'm not here every day. Well, bitch, you're under a full-time contract. The Rock is not. He came back, why? To entertain the wrestling fans.
But JJ, they have to have a reason for the two of them to fight in the first place.
I know, man, but that's the most petty fucking reason he can come up with.
I understand that.
And he looks like a fucking joke.
Else?
Well, bragging rights more than anything. You know,
well, yeah,
John Cena.
Not say that well, because that's too real.
But at the same time, though, I mean, it's the pussy's way out. You know, if that's your only argument is, oh, well, I'm here every day because I signed a fucking contract and have to be here every day, and Dwayne Johnson's out filming this movie and this movie and this movie. He's in the in weeks in the summer. That's going to be a number one movie, and you're doing the Marine 3, and it's going straight to DVD, and you're fucking bitter, and you're butthurt because this guy has done everything better than you. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. John Cena is not half the sports entertainer that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is.
Not to you and I, but to the little kid he is.
Prove me wrong.
I can. To the little kids, he's better than The Rock. Because they don't know The Rock like we know The Rock. They don't have time invested in The Rock like we have in The Rock. They didn't grow up loving and hating The Rock like we loved and hated The Rock. They didn't grow up during the Attitude Era like we did. All they got is John Cena this, John Cena that. Their parents buy the John Cena merchandise because he's such a good, upstanding American role model. To the kids, 10 and under, John Cena's bigger than Jesus and Santa Claus. To us, The Rock is much more the entertainer, much more the wrestler. You know, it'd be like arguing with your dad over who's the better fighter? Well, I say Mike Tyson. He says Muhammad Ali. We'll never know. It's kind of like that last Rocky movie, you know, which I thought I saw again the other day. Why is why I bring it up. But it's such a great precedence for a movie. ESPN throws a simulated fight with a video game on ESPN Sports Center, and they have a mock tournament where the Rocky Balboa actually beats the current champion in a fucking fight and gets people talking. You know, and then Rocky says, hey, you know what, fuck it, I wouldn't mind trying to fight again. It's a great premise, just like Rock and Cena. You know,
I get that comparison, sure.
Cena is the soccer mom favorite. He's the kid's favorite. He's the PG era superstar. The Rock is the Attitude Era. Teenagers and adults love him, you know. It's just, I mean, it's just one generation's hero versus another is all it is.
Right. It depends, you know, what era you're from. If you're us, you're pushing for the Rock, but... You know, like Trey says, I get it. If you're 8 years, you know, 8 years old, you're rooting for Cena.
Yeah.
So, it's a generation.
Because you don't know The Rock like we do. You know.
Right.
I mean, look at Rock. Look at Rock Hogan. It wasn't supposed to happen the way that it happened. You know, Rock was supposed to be over like Rover, and he got booed.
Right.
You know, there's a good 5 minutes of that match where they stand there just looking at each other and listening to the crowd going, what the fuck?
Well, I think that had to do with the venue, too, that it was in Canada. I don't think that would have went down the same way if that WrestleMania was in the U.S.
I bet you it would have.
Well.
At that point, Hogan could still go a little bit, you know, for Hogan. Right. You know.
But
and JJ's right. To me, I agree with him 100%. The Rock is every bit more the entertainer, the wrestler, the actor. But you can't convince a fucking kid under 12 years old that.
That's true. I mean,
guarantee it.
And I mean, you know, look, two different eras. You know, The Rock was in an Attitude Era. He wasn't necessarily in the PG. He was in a, I'd almost say like a. A bootlegged PG era right before the Attitude Era, but he was Rocky Maivia.
Right.
You know, he was a goody two shoes guy before he turned into The Rock. But when you think about The Rock character and the things that he did in the Attitude Era, yeah, it was edgy. Yeah, he was more adult. He was able to get away with a lot more that John Cena couldn't do. Now you go back and you watch John Cena, you know, in the ending of the Attitude Era when he was going around throwing a bag at nuts and saying, you know, here, chew on these nuts and doing battle raps against Kurt Angle and guys. Yeah, I mean, he had a compelling character. There was something about that character that I kind of liked. But I just don't think he's a great actor. I think when he comes across with his promos, he's borderline goofy.
Yeah,
he's repetitive.
That's for the kids, though.
I know, but there's nothing that, to me, he brings nothing to the table.
Well, it's just like Billy Gunn always said, they already got your money. Now they want your kids' money, which is still your money.
Yeah, that's true. And my kids love the guy. But
here's the deal. You know, we just spent 15 minutes talking about this. We spent 15 minutes talking about The Rock and John Cena, which is what the WWE wants. So, you know, the fact that we can spend this much time on it, I think, really shows that, yeah, it is a really hyped match for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, you know. They're doing their job because I think, do you guys honestly think that this generation gap isn't done on purpose? That
I gotta address something in the chat room, man.
You know,
Rockport says in the chat, number one, he's with JJ word by word. We got that. You said it more than once. Number two, Cena's gonna get booed out of Miami at Mania like no one's business, no matter the kids. Refer back to last year's Money in the Bank versus Punk. Okay, now Rockport. Let me break out the crayons and draw you a picture. If you've got 50 kids sitting in Section A and 50 adults sitting in Section B, who do you think the people in the ring are going to hear the loudest? The adults.
Right.
The kids can scream and yell and fucking scream till they lose their voice. but adults are going to be louder than children. So you pack an arena full of kids and the parents that fucking drove them there, and the parents and the teenage and the adult fans are going to be heard over the kids every time. Now, if WrestleMania was in Miami and they held it in an arena full of fucking, you know, 12 and under kids, then, yeah, Cena would get cheered like a, you know, saint. And Ed Rod says most adults would just keep quiet. Not when you buy a ticket to go to a wrestling event. Have you ever been to one?
Well, now, and I agree with your point. You can hear adults more so than you can children, but, I mean, Miami just seems like a pro-rock crowd, so.
And it should be. I mean, that's his hometown.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that, you know, the favor is going to be for The Rock. You know, I mean, I would be surprised if John Cena didn't win this first one.
I mean, there are going to be actual kids in Miami that cheer for The Rock because that's where he's from. You know.
Right, yeah. But moving on to the last match, finally, we have a battle royal to determine the number one contender for the WWE Championship. And we have CM Punk on commentary who, you know what, 10, 15 years from now, he's going to be on commentary permanently. He's
oh, man, what a calling.
Awesome.
That guy is amazing on commentary.
Yeah, definitely.
I like him. I like CM Punk. I hate to say this. I like CM Punk more on commentary than I do in the ring. Isn't that fucked up?
Wow.
I mean, well, Punk this year has grown on me. But I don't want to be a hypocritical show host because now he's the champion. I want to suck him off. Because if you've listened to me in the past, I've said I'm not a big CM Punk mark. I'm just not. I have my preferences just like you do. And just because I host a fucking wrestling radio show doesn't mean I'm not a fucking fan. I have every right to like and hate who the fuck I choose to. It's my American fucking birthright. And I just don't care much for CM Punk in the ring. That's my fucking birthright. However, he's grown on me a lot this year. I enjoy a lot of his work this year. And I think the fact that he does a better job at commentary shows where he will be when he hangs up his boots.
Definitely. I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, I think he's one of those guys who, you know, his in-ring skills are good, but his mic skills are just so good that they overshadow what he does in the ring.
And it's like I said, the chat room, the reason why, and JJ would know this because JJ's done more commentary at ringside than me and Bronx combined. But, you know, the reason he's so good at commentary is he's a color guy that is himself. He doesn't try to be anybody else. He just says what comes to mind, and he's perfect at it.
And I'd like to think that he's not getting Vince McMahon in his headphones because, I mean, if he is, he's obviously playing it off great. But, you know, in the past, guys like Mick Foley and Taz, you know,
Vince isn't that funny, dude. You know that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I've got some breaking news here. According to WWE sources, Dolph Ziggler is okay. He took a hard bump but was okay after being checked out backstage. Unfortunately for Wade Barrett, things aren't going so well. He was checked by medical staff. It's confirmed he suffered a dislocated elbow from a fall with Ziggler in the Raw main event Battle Royal. I got to credit PW Insider with this one.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up, man. You know, we had Big Show, Cody Rhodes, R-Truth, Dolph Ziggler, Wade Barrett, The Great Khali, The Miz, Kofi Kingston, Santino Marella, and Jericho in this Battle Royal. And, you know, that vicious bump that Barrett took. Man, at least it's not a broken arm, thank God, because that's what I had heard originally. It was a broken arm.
And that's what it looked like. That's exactly what it looked like. JJ jinxed him last night.
What did I do last night that jinxed him?
You said it looked like he dislocated his elbow.
Oh, my God, I did, didn't I?
Remember that in the Elimination Chamber? You said, God, I hope Wade Barrett's okay. It looks like he dislocated his elbow like Eddie Guerrero.
I did say that, yeah. You're right, I did.
You fucked him up, dude.
It's my fault. Now, let me just say this. This Battle Royal, I mean, I understand why they put it together.
But it was it's stupid. I mean, why did they just? I mean, I don't know.
Well, okay. Here's my viewpoint on the whole thing. Okay, and I talked about this last night on Sunday Night Showdown. All right, why did you go through all this effort of putting together this Elimination Chamber match? You took Jericho out of the chamber. He was never eliminated. He was never pinned. He never submitted. He was knocked out on the outside. So he never officially left the match. No, nobody said, okay, Jericho's been eliminated. So CM Punk retains the belt, even though Jericho was unable to compete and out of the match. So in all honesty, I want someone to explain to me why you needed a battle royal to determine a number one contender when, truthfully, Chris Jericho should be getting a championship match, whether it's this week on Raw, the next week on Raw, 2 weeks from now, whatever. He should get an opportunity to face CM Punk one-on-one because he was not a guy that was eliminated, pinned, submitted in the Elimination Chamber match. To me, it makes no sense that you would do this. And, of course, we all know that Chris Jericho came out on top and is now the opponent for CM Punk going into WrestleMania. This, too, bothers me because do you really think Chris Jericho has come in to work this program and is going to beat CM Punk at WrestleMania? I think they did a big disservice to both Punk and Jericho here. And this is just my opinion. Agree, disagree, I don't care. But I think they've done both of these guys a disservice because, to me, Jericho would have fit the role tonight, getting a title match, finding some way of overcoming the odds, getting the best of CM Punk, and then CM Punk would have to chase Chris Jericho going into WrestleMania, where he would ultimately get that WrestleMania moment by winning the title from Chris Jericho. Now it's just, okay, CM Punk's the champion, Jericho's chasing. I'm completely confused as to why we're doing it this way. It makes no sense to me, period.
Well, I mean, you know, here's my take on it, and obviously, you know, Jericho did go over, and he went over basically because, you know, Cody Rhodes helped eliminate the Big Show. Now, I don't understand if Rhodes is basically in a feud with Bryan, what's this deal? Now, mind you, I don't watch SmackDown that often, but what's this deal now with, you know, Cody Rhodes being butthurt at the Big Show?
Well, and to even more to the point, why did we have SmackDown guys involved in a battle royal for a championship match at WrestleMania?
That was my first question.
Against the WWE champion, who is primarily on the Raw brand. That made absolutely dick all sense to me. I'm dick so all, confused.
Dick all sense. Now that's the epitome of not making sense.
There you go. I don't understand why we should even care why the Great Khali and all the SmackDown guys were in this battle royal. Why were they there in the first place? It's ridiculous.
Well, I hate to say it, but here's the deal. If you're the WWE, here's what you got lined up at WrestleMania. You got Cena versus The Rock. You now have pretty much confirmed Undertaker versus Triple H, Hell in a Cell. You got Big Show versus Shaq. I hate to say it, I think the WWE title is not a priority for WrestleMania, which is why they kind of hot-shotted it.
Yeah, you remember last year, WrestleMania, the World Heavyweight Championship was the opening match? You're going to see a similar thing. The opening match will be the World Heavyweight Championship with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, and then probably third or fourth match in will be the WWE Championship match between Jericho and CM Punk. And then more than likely, you're going to have The Undertaker and Triple H, Hell in a Cell, followed by Rock and John Cena. So the card is going to be interesting, how they put it all together. And really, with those two, I mean, you have to make either Rock or Cena or Triple H Undertaker your main event, because those are going to be the two matches that everybody really wants to see. I mean, I hate to say it, I'm a fan of championship matches, and I want to see Bryan and Sheamus because I think it's going to be a great match, and I want to see Punk Jericho because I know that's going to be a good match. But in terms of putting asses in seats, those two matches I just mentioned are going to be hard to figure out which is going to go in the main event spot.
Cena Rock's going to be main event, which, you know, Hell in a Cell usually would be your main event card. But, I mean, I can really see it. It's going to be Rock Cena. It's just been, 365 days of hype, dude, you know, and I can't see any match closing other than that.
True that.
You know, But, I mean, interesting, you know, interesting lookout for WrestleMania. I think it's going to be a good WrestleMania, a very talked about WrestleMania. You know, they're pushing parts of it good. They're pushing other parts of it not too good, like the WWE title. You know, that's like kind of an afterthought right now, especially once they announce Big Show Shaq. So it's just, you know, we've said it before. You and Trey have said it before. The belts don't mean what they used to.
Well, I mean, they've always been a prop to put somebody over.
Right.
But, I mean, now more so than ever, I mean, it's just your championship matches are your mid card. They're not even the mid card. They're more like your lower card for WrestleMania, and that's crazy to me.
Well, it's a different era as far as, you know, me giving Raw a letter grade. You know, I gave it a B- earlier, but talking to you guys, I'm going to downgrade that a little bit because JJ and Trey, both of you made some great points. I'm going to lower it to a C+ because even though it wrapped up a lot of things, we know now for sure Taker and Triple H is going down and that advanced the storyline. But again, the whole way that Jericho got his number one contendership is kind of iffy. So I agree with you. It served a purpose, but it left a lot of, you know, what the fuck moments. So C+ for me.
Wow. So you've downgraded from your original just because of things we've said? Stick to your guns, Bronxy. Come on. Don't let us sway you. If you liked it, then tell us you liked it.
No, I'm not changing because of that. I did like it, but it's just that sometimes when you talk to guys like yourself and Trey, who have been in this business and doing it a lot longer than I have, you rethink your opinion. I've got a right to change my opinion. C+.
Trey, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to go with a strong B. I thought tonight's show was good. I thought it was a great setup. Like I said earlier, you know, years past, we've been a week away from WrestleMania, scratching our sack, going, what the fuck's going to happen next week? You know? I think that now we've got four or five set matches. Rumor has it Trish Stratus wants to fight Beth Phoenix. Why not? Bring it on. You know? We still got Big Show and the possible matchup with Shaquille O'Neal. Bring it on. You know, I thought tonight's Raw was a good setup for WrestleMania. Yeah, I'd like to see Triple H Taker's drawn out a little bit more, but at the same time, with the internet wrestling community, who knows? They could have done this one more week and everybody would have shit on it. You know, oh, it's getting old. Oh, I'm tired of it. I have to get it over with, you know. So, for what it was tonight, although the logic in a lot of areas was flawed, I don't understand the whole, why did we go all the way around the house to get into the kitchen as far as the CM Punk Jericho match is concerned when we could have just walked right into the front door? You know, I just think they went a long way around to get where they were going to go in the first place.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go.
Exactly.
Then all we had to do was just walk through the door.
That's right. But they got there, so now we're there. Let's see what happens. So I'm going to give it a B.
See, I'm B minus on this one because, again, I was getting show prep done. I watched the show. Mind the opening segment. I mean, Hoskies, Broskies, okay, that was pretty cool. The Eve thing, I don't know. Her acting is shit. Cena's funny promos just don't – they're not funny to me, and I have issues with that. Solid ring work tonight. I thought that the pairing of Kofi and Truth was interesting, and looks like now they might be getting a championship tag team title match in their future, which I found to be interesting that we've stuck Kofi and Truth together just because we need to do something with both of them.
Somebody in the chat room called him Air Jimmy.
Air Jimmy. Oh, well, you know, it's funny that they stuck those two together because when you think about it, Evan Bourne got busted with R-Truth. So
yeah.
Down the road, could we see another, you know, flight, Little Jimmy, you know, go down in flames?
Well, Little Jimmy's out under the wellness policy. Little Jimmy can smoke as much as he wants.
Yeah, but we just call it Flight Little Jimmy because, you know, he's always talking about Little Jimmy. Just seems like it works. Flight Little Jimmy.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, I just hope they don't call
flying
it
flying spiders.
Yeah, but now what if they call a tag team Slim Jim? Now, that would be screwed up because that's what you use to break into a car.
Oh, you racist bastard.
Well, if we're going to be racist, why not? If we're going to be racist, why not Team KKK?
What?
Oh, my God.
Kofi Kingston Killings.
If this was, you know what? You know what the funny thing about that is? You know, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to, like, do anything racially motivated here. But if that were a stable in, for example, Stampede Wrestling, I totally could see Bruce Hart doing that. Because from what I understand, there was a wrestler, and I think his name was Quick Kick Kurt something. And he originally was going to go under the gimmick KKK because that's what Bruce Hart thought was funny. You know, but this is the same guy that was booking women to lose to Nutshot, so it is what it is. But, no, I don't think we're going to call it KKK, you racist bastard.
No, that wasn't me. That was Ed, the chat room. Okay. I just stole it from him. But killing still. Me.
But overall, I thought the show was all right. I mean, it had its moments. Again, not the biggest Cena fan, but you know that. I don't need to reiterate that. I thought the main event was kind of, what's the point in doing this when Jericho clearly is the number one contender or should get a match at some point? It is what it is. I mean, the biggest thing I'm excited about tomorrow is the possibility that I may go pick up this Rock DVD because I like the way it looks. Not only that, I might go pick up a copy of WrestleFest, which actually drops in stores. Well,
man, the Rock schmuck.
Right now.
I mean, I still got the 3-CD disc they put out of them last time. What are they going to add to this that I haven't already seen?
It's a documentary. They've never done a good documentary on him. That's the difference this time out.
Well, I'll watch it online.
Well, you go for it. Well, Bronx, good job as always.
I'm not a collector, though. You guys are collectors. I'm not a collector. I'm one of those people, I play a game, I sell it. I watch a DVD, I rent it, or I watch it online because I don't have any desire to see it again.
Well, see, I'm different. I mean, as you say, I'm a collector. I still have every Xbox 360 game I've ever purchased. I got, like, fucking 60.
See, like, that's like Horseman. Horseman's got more DVDs on wrestling than any one person I know. And I'm just like, really? Once I watch it, you know, I've literally
got about 75 Xbox games staring me in the face. Talk about DVDs, I've probably got about a couple hundred. I still have my PlayStation 2 games and no PlayStation 2. I mean, Wow. That's how serious of a collector I am. But, Bronx, anything on the way out, my friend?
Yeah, man, you know, let's give a shout-out to Wade Barrett. Definitely let's pray for him. I mean, he's – between the way he's been booked, his theme music, and now getting hurt, he's just had a shitload of bad luck. So my heart goes out to the dude. I like Wade Barrett, you know. Let's, you know, keep him in our thoughts, man. I hope he
well, looks which like doctor, gonna... which Dr. JJ fucked him up last night?
Well, Dr. I mean, JJ. It looks like, well, I mean, you know, I wonder about my future here on the network because I wonder about JJ having evil powers. I mean, this motherfucker was calling the order at which guys would come out of their pods last night and basically got it perfect.
He went back to Arkansas and sold his soul to a fucking witch doctor in the swamp. That's why he was really gone for 2 weeks. He's making a deal with the devil trying to get some fucking shit going on in the black market. I'm not talking black like black people.
I'm glad you specified that.
I knew that was coming. By the way, if you go to Walmart and buy things legally, is that the white market?
That's, I don't know what you'd call that. That's called retail.
Okay.
Wow, you guys are killing me. All right, well, that said, I think it's time we get out of
now,
here for
you,
our first break.
If you steal some shit from Walmart, that's called a white-collar crime.
It's called shoplifting.
It's called jail time.
That's right. Anyway, Bronx, thanks for stopping by and giving us the Raw recap.
All right, guys, take care.
Well, that said, guys, we're going to take our first commercial break of the evening. Come back. I know we've got News of the Week sponsored by wrestling-online.com, calls and emails.
And we have a segment at the end of the show just for JJ as Mick Foley hosts JJ, This Is Your Life.
Oh, man, I told you, don't do that.
Well, it's not Mick Foley. It's not like that. Oh. It's just a JJ tribute for a lot of the fans getting together and wishing him, you know, their thoughts over a tough period while he was away from the network. Just a nice little thank you piece to JJ.
Yeah, I was sweating it there. You said Mick Foley was going to host it, and I was oof, that's iffy.
Yeah, we couldn't afford him on our budget.
Well, it would be bad if he did it, but, you know, love Mick to death, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll be right back right after this with more Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network.
The genius, full of glory and renown, Lanny Poppo. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
You know, in the world of pro wrestling radio, there's always someone out there who will always try to get under your skin.
I want to really drive Andy to the point where he wants to choke me out, because I'm going to drive him right off the edge of the cliff.
They'll always try, but in the end, it always comes down to the truth.
That moment when silent rage blows the gasket, this match is over.
You know, I'm really just a nice guy at heart. But...
Don't piss me off, okay?
I mean, come on.
The truth is going to hurt someone.
Catch your weekly search for the truth right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman, brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell. Each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, it's go time.
You've demanded it for decades, and now your favorite WWE arcade game is back. WWE WrestleFest, completely reimagined on your iPhone and iPad, featuring the biggest WWE superstars and legends. Challenge a friend in multiplayer tag team matches. Epic DLC content featuring over 30 WWE superstars and legends. Prove yourself in the Ultimate Royal Rumble. All new Road to WrestleMania storyline. Beat the odds and become WWE Champion. Grab your iPhone or iPad. The classic arcade game, WrestleFest, is available now.
Before there was...
WrestleMania 28, John Cena versus The Rock. Boots to asses. Just bring it.
The Rock and Thought Connection.
The Million Stone Cold versus The Rock.
People's Champion.
The Great One.
The Rock. The Nation of Domination.
You damn sure better introduce me as The Rock.
Now there's going to be the man right there. The blue chipper right there.
There was only Dwayne.
May 2, 1972. My son was born.
One man born into this world to change it forever from a remarkable lineage.
My sole purpose was to just make my family proud.
He conquered the gridiron.
Number 94, Wayne Johnson.
The ring.
There's only one number one spot, and I'm going to take it.
Arguably the greatest superstar in the history of our business.
Hollywood.
The Rock.
The Rock's so hot this year.
You just knew this guy was going to reach an audience far above and beyond what anyone else ever had. And now...
finally, The Rock has come back home.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime journey of a once-in-a-lifetime superstar. The epic journey of Dwayne The Rock Johnson on DVD and Blu-ray now.
This is the glory, the grandeur, the magnificence, the worldwide extravaganza.
A match where generations collide.
The most electrifying man.
WrestleMania.
You're listening
to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. All right, guys, we're back. Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. And I couldn't resist coming back.
What are you laughing at?
I'm getting to that. I couldn't resist coming back to break. With that epic China liner that we got last year right here on this program to promote her first ever porno called Backdoor to China, which she did for Vivid Video. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this, Trey, but she's actually serious about having an adult career. She is. She has filmed her second feature film, which I believe is called Queen of the Ring or Wrestling's Queen. I don't remember the exact title, but in this particular porno, she gets screwed by a Hulk Hogan-esque character. There's a Triple H-esque character. There's all kinds of wrestling parodies involved in this. I think it's Queen of the Ring is the name of the porno, I believe. But
more power to her.
I don't know.
She was in a huge Twitter war with Triple H. No, well, it wasn't Triple H. He's all on Twitter, but she was talking shit about Triple H and people like Shane Helms and X-Pac and, you know, several others were firing back at her. She was talking shit to Vince and Triple H. It was pretty comical.
Correction, it's Ring Queen. I want to thank ZMG for setting me straight on that. Yeah, Ring Queen is going to feature all these. And she was, I think there was an article on TMZ where she said she got screwed by a Hulk Hogan wannabe imposter.
I just said it wasn't Triple H. I corrected my fucking self. What is with you people?
Wow.
God damn, you guys live to fucking correct us. It gets on my last goddamn nerve. Fuck.
Calm down, Diggity Dog. Come on. It's all right. Just breathe. Don't blow an O-ring.
Damn.
Need to take the J.J. Sexay advanced class and how to calm yourself down. Ever since all this went down with my dad, I'm trying to not get as upset as I used to. Trying to breathe, not let it get to me.
I'm just tired of the fucking chat. You know what? I'm just going to quit fucking being in the chat room. I just, you know, it's they don't want to do anything but argue, talk shit. you know, correct me when I fucking say it. I'm just sick of it. I'm fucking sick of it. That and the goddamn wannabe fucking comedians in the chat room, you know, just drive me fucking batshit crazy.
True that, true that. So I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and jump into some news of the week sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, I really don't know what you're waiting for. We've only been promoting this thing for a couple of years now, and you're missing out big time. If you're someone that wants your wrestling news delivered to you and you don't want to go search this site and this site and this other site and maybe that other site that you got to pay for, well, you don't have to because it comes directly to you in your email. And it's free, just like Wrestling News Live. You get some of the best in the world of wrestling radio right here on Wrestling News Live, and you also get the best in news delivered to you at least 3 to 4 times a week via the Wrestling Online newsletter, and it's been around for years. So join over 37,000 other subscribers and be informed, because that's the important part of it.
Excuse me! Excuse me!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
Now, this first little news story that I want to hit, we all know that Mark Henry is famous right now for his Hall of Pain, correct, Trey?
Yes.
Well, turns out that Mark Henry is going to be inducted in the International Sports Hall of Fame. That's right.
Wow.
He will be inducted in the International Sports Hall of Fame, which will be held at the Arnold Sports Festival on Saturday, March the 3rd at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. Henry, who participated in the 1992 and 1996 Olympics, joins Arnold Schwarzenegger, Corey Everson, Jack LaLanne, Randy Couture, and Chuck Wepner as the 2012 Hall of Fame inductees. You can check out his Hall of Fame profile at wrestling-online.com. They've got a link for the Sports Hall of Fame, so check that out. But kudos to Mark Henry for getting in the Sports Hall of Fame.
That's pretty nice.
That is pretty nice. Well, that was weird. I touched something and all of a sudden my volume went up really loud. That was kind of creepy.
Voodoo. That's our song of the night, Voodoo by Godsmack.
All right, I can get that.
You're full of the voodoo, the black arts.
I've got the black magic now, do I?
Not you black people.
Yeah,
I want to start any of that shit.
Yeah, let's not get it confused. Black magic, not black voodoo or whatever.
You got to clarify on this show. You have to watch your back.
Now, this week we also learned that we saw for the first time the WrestleMania 29 logo and found out that WrestleMania 29 gets its home at MetLife Stadium in 2013. It's coming to New Jersey on April 7th, 2013. The 29th annual extravaganza will originate from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the home of the New York Jets and New York Football Giants. Governor Christie was joined by WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon, New York Football Giants President and CEO John Mara, New York Jets Chairman and CEO Woody Johnson, NYC and Company CEO George Fertitta, and WWE Senior Vice President of Special Events John Saber to make the announcement at a press conference held last week. WWE superstars John Cena, Triple H, Sheamus, Mark Henry, Brie, and Nikki Bella, with special guest The Rock, were also on hand at MetLife Stadium for the announcement. So we now know that WrestleMania 29 is coming to New Jersey, baby.
Jersey Shore, baby.
The Rock at that press conference said that he would be a part of WrestleMania 29. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to wrestle a match, if he's going to host it like he did the year prior, but The Rock is saying that he will, in fact, be at WrestleMania 29. Oh, let's see. I've already covered the adult China story here. We don't really need to go over that again, do we? It was bad enough
no.
The first time around. We really need
yeah,
to go at it
say.
Again. I mean, although there were some pretty cool points, you know, pretty cool scenes in the backdoor to China. I think the tombstone scene was pretty good, I have to say. That was my favorite scene of the whole fucking thing. Going to hell.
Oh, my God. And the fact that you even brought that up to her.
You brought that up.
Not the tombstone.
Oh, you said, well, JJ's got a favorite scene. You threw me under the bus. Don't give me that shit.
That's not what it was.
You fucking did. And she goes, oh, what scene is that? And I'm like, I kind of like the tombstone. Yeah, you threw me under the bus there, Trey Dog. That was you.
Oh, my bad. You shouldn't have told me before. You shouldn't have told me that minutes before we had her on the phone.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Here's a story about Brodus Clay basically telling people that don't believe all the hater hype, that his character's not been scrapped. After weeks and weeks of hype on Raw, Brodus was unleashed on the WWE television as the Funkasaurus. But after a couple of squash matches, Clay has disappeared from TV once again. The former NXT rookie has already been absent from Raw for the last couple of weeks, and his taped SmackDown match against Heath Slater was also removed from that particular broadcast and never aired on Sci-Fi. Now, the first time since February 7th, the Funkasaurus has spoken on Twitter and told his followers not to believe the hater hype, saying that Planet Funk is still in orbit. Rumors are that Clay was pulled from television after WWE chairman and CEO Vince McMahon was not thrilled about his in-ring performances. Now, my take here is that if you weren't thrilled about his performances, why did you give him the gimmick and put him on TV in the first damn place? Because, I mean, really,
how can you not be thrilled with his performance when he does 60-second matches?
Exactly. You know, you're the one that's squashing him against every guy in the ring because you don't feel he's confident. He's not a capable in-ring talent. I mean, why was he even brought to the roster if he's not a credible wrestler? I mean, that's what you have FCW for. That's what you have the minor leagues for. If you're not comfortable with somebody's wrestling ability, then here's a thought. Don't put him on fucking TV. Just say it.
Wasabi.
Just saying. And I'm not a big fan of the Funk gimmick. I think it would have been much better for Percy Watson. I will go down to my dying day and say that Percy Watson should have been the Funkasaurus. The gimmick would have worked for the guy. It's going to be on my tombstone when I die. JJ says Percy Watson should have been the Funkasaurus. I'm going to make sure of it right now. Jesus. Killing me. As I hinted around earlier, WrestleFest is being released tomorrow for your iOS device. If you've been a long-time WWE fan, especially a video gamer, you grew up in the early 90s, you'll definitely remember the WrestleFest arcade game that was very popular among wrestling fans, and I'd say 91, 92. Now,
what's an iOS device?
It's Apple operating systems, basically. Mm. So, you know, your iPad, your iPhone, your iPod, these are all the devices you can get it on. Now WWE and THQ are bringing the game back for the iPad, iPhone, iPod, starting on February 21st on the Apple App Store. Some of the WWE legends that were in the original video game, the Big Boss Man, Jake the Snake Roberts, are actually in this remake. Also, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, joins the class, with Randy Orton, CM Punk, John Cena, The Undertaker, The Rock, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I don't know anything about the game. You've never played it. Go check it out. I wanted WrestleFest Xbox. Maybe there'll be a future. It looks interesting, to say the least. You have no... Such a good game. The USA Network will once begin... Well, once... it's scheduled 28 DVD. Did that. You're killing me. This just in. The game is out now. The iPad... And $2.99 on pretty cheap. $4 on the iPad championship. Be a part of WrestleMania, believe it or not. That he will be participating at this year's WrestleMania. Yes, O'Neill is a huge guest and also an appearance on a radio show. He was in the wrestling at WrestleMania 24 Junior. Think Big Show and WrestleMania. You put the two largest athletes. And if you do it right, the thing that people talk about and remember. Good news for Jesse Sorensen. His fracture. It will be a long road back to Zion, knee striking his... No WrestleMania approaches.
Beth has now said she faced Beth at WrestleMania.
Really?
Yes. Yep. It's out there now, so we'll see.
Well, you know, and I really think bringing Trish back would be good. We saw her last year. It'd be nice to see her again this year, but at the same time, I kind of want to see Kong and Beth more than I want to see Trish and Beth.
I do too. Although, I don't know. I still think that Trish has got a point, that she's the greatest women's champion. I mean, granted, she's, you know, got a lot of women to argue that claim with, but from where she started to where she ended up, Trish Stratus was over like Rover and retired way too young, but that's, you know, kudos to her for doing that, I guess, but I still think Trish Stratus is the best ever, since I've been alive.
I will say that when I think in terms of female wrestlers that have really made their mark on the business, I'd have to say that Trish does stand out. I mean, she was the MVP of the women's division for so many years. I mean, the matches she had with Lita, the matches she had with Mickie James. I still remember watching wrestling WrestleMania. What was it, 2006? WrestleMania, was it 2022? Yeah, 22. You know, covering that particular show when Worlds Collide at the C23 Studios with you and JSK, and Harmony was there as well. And I remember watching that match between Trish and Mickie, and those girls were beating each other's ass. I mean, there were some stiff shots going out there. They were really...
Was that the infamous licking of the fingers?
That was the infamous licking of the fingers match. Yes, yes, yes. That would be the one. That was the same one where, you know, Shawn Michaels had the match with Vince, and he came off the 20-fucking-foot steel ladder onto the fucking garbage can onto Vince McMahon with the elbow drop.
Through the table.
Yeah. That was when Triple H tapped out to John Cena, and we fucking lost it.
Oh, God, don't
remind me. And Rey Mysterio won the World Heavyweight Championship, and Trey lost it.
Don't remind me.
No, but seriously, as far as Trish goes, I mean, I think that's a very dominant claim. The only person I can ever think that has a more legitimate gripe than Trish Stratus would be the fabulous Moolah, and that was a completely different era. I mean, just a much more physical wrestler than Moolah ever was, the stuff that Trish did. And, you know, not to discount Moolah's career, because she did have a great one. I'm seeing Wendy Richter. Wendy Richter was never as good as Trish Stratus, in my opinion.
Now, as far as women's wrestling goes, just to talk a little bit about Impact last Thursday, you know, you got to remember Trish Stratus came in as a manager and was Vince McMahon's valet for a while / diva. And then Vince made her bark like a dog and treated her like shit and embarrassed the shit out of her in the ring. And then she disappeared for a while. Then she came back and she was a member of the women's division. And that's when she started kicking ass. I can honestly say that when I started watching Velvet Sky on Impact, she wasn't that great in the ring. She was really just eye candy, even though she was in the Beautiful People. You know, Angelina Love did most of the work. If you watched Impact this Thursday and saw that knockout battle royal, you saw how far Velvet Sky has really come as far as wrestling is concerned. And I think she's going to be another one that's going to continue to get better, and not just because she's my girl. But, I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with how she looked when it was 2-on-1 and both knockouts were trying to eliminate her and she had to fight them both off. You know, she couldn't have done that a year ago. She would have looked totally out of place. And I think she's going to be another one of those that gets better with time.
I want to clarify something I said a few minutes ago when I brought up Trish Stratus and we're talking about her being probably the most recognizable women's champion, you know, ever. I mean, I'm seeing names out there like Karma and Wendy Richter and Leilani Kai and Sherry Martel, Bull Nakano, Aja Kong. Yes, they're all wonderful, and I'm not saying that any one of them is better than Trish or that she's better than any of them. But from the standpoint of the WWE, Trish Stratus put women's wrestling on the map in the WWE.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing any Japanese grapplers because, I mean, they're much better in Japan. The women over there are just as hardcore as the men. They're fucking nuts. I've seen some brutal shit from the, you know, from especially from Aja Kong. So I'm not discounting anybody's abilities in the ring, but I agree with Trey. When you think of the dominant diva in the WWE, you'd have to go with Trish Stratus. I just want to clarify that so nobody's misunderstanding.
When I think of dominant diva in the WWE, two names come to mind, and they just happen to be in two different eras. Not two different eras, but one happened to leave before the other one came along. And you got to think Sable, and you got to think of Trish.
Well, and I would also say you'd have to think of Medusa or Alundra Blaze, because she really did for a long time hold that women's division in place back in 94, 95 when it was incepted. She was the corner piece. She was, you know, Vince's champion.
Throwing kudos out where they're deserved. I think had she stuck around as a wrestler and been more of a wrestler and less of a valet for Team Extreme, the Hardy Boys, and then been a valet for Edge, I think when she wrestled, Lita was a close second. But she didn't wrestle enough.
The thing about Lita that set her apart was she was probably the first American, as far as the first American wrestler in the WWE to really be doing moonsaults and hurricanranas and stuff. I mean, not to say that there weren't women in Japan that were doing that before her, but definitely not in the women's division in the WWE.
Well, Lita just didn't wrestle enough. She was more of a valet than she was a women's wrestler because she was always hurt.
True. Well, and the worst part is the worst injury she ever had, she did on a movie set. A TV set. She was doing Dark Angel.
TV show. Dark Angel, yeah.
Yeah, she broke her neck after doing a Hurricane Rana on Jessica Alba. So, but anyway, moving away from that topic, I mean, we could sit here and talk all day about women's wrestlers, and one of these days I'd like to get Harmony on the show so she can kind of give her take on women's wrestlers, because she's a big fan of Rhonda Singh. And if you don't know who Rhonda Singh is, she was Bertha Faye in the WWE, but by the time she got to the WWE and they used her as Bertha Faye, it was a fucking joke. It's like Natty now. She's a fucking joke now. And Bertha Faye was badass, folks, when she was Rhonda Singh. So, anyway, moving on from that topic. Let's see, what else were we talking about a few minutes ago? We've already covered Raw. We've covered the news of the week. I guess it's time to open up the phone lines and take some phone calls.
Well, before we do that, I have a segment that I would like to play for you.
Oh, do you?
Something you have not heard yet.
Oh, really?
And while you were gone, the listener base wanted to send you their condolences and, you know, let you know that they were thinking about you, and some of them even included their favorite JJ Sexe moment since the birth of the SNS radio network. Now, not old school back in the day, but since the birth of the SNS radio network.
I'm afraid.
So, with that said, we're going to play that for you now, and after that, we'll just go into a commercial break. Well, after that, we'll come back and talk and then go to a commercial break.
All right, sounds good.
So, let's do that now.
Hey, JJ. I just wanted to send you this quick little welcome back message and just thank you for everything you've done for the network. We all really appreciate it, and we all know that you've not only reshaped the SNS radio network, but you've also reshaped the radio industry, internet radio industry as a whole. So thank you for everything you've done, and hopefully things look better for you, and welcome back.
Hey, JJ, this is Real Blackheart, and I'm very sorry about what happened, and I hope that you can get through all this, and my prayers are with you and your family, and we look forward to you coming back. You and Trey make my Monday nights complete with your wrestling updates and your Raw update and everything that's going on in the world of wrestling. Couldn't listen to anybody else but you guys, so take it easy, and you'll get through this. All right, Peace.
Hey, Trey, JJ, everybody at the WNL family. JJ, I just want to let you know that you mean the world to everybody at the Wrestling News Live family. We're just so proud and happy that you're going to be coming home, and we're so sorry to hear about Jesse and your father. We just want you to know that everybody here has said a prayer, including me, Tennessee Cowgirl. We love you, and we can't wait to hear you on Monday night. Love you, babe. Bye.
Hey, Jay, it's Mr. William Walkie Walker, the sci-fi geek of the SNS Radio Network. Just wanted to leave a welcome back message to Mr. JJ Sensei. I just want to say, man, you've been missed while you were away from the SNS Radio Network. But again, hope and pray that things are working out for you. And just wanted to say that we look forward for you coming back to the network and kicking ass, taking names, and everything else in between. So hang in there, my friends, and welcome back. And let's keep going. So take it easy. God bless. And welcome back, JJ.
Yo, what up, guys? It's the Pope. I just wanted to call in and get out there that they didn't deserve this much, so I'm going to call in and say that. Peter means a lot to me because, you know, he was one of the first guys who just, like, welcomed me with open arms to the WNL family, and I never looked back on it, so he's just been a nice guy to me overall, and, you know, we've never had issues with each other, so. And I'm going to say my favorite moment with JJ, it honestly has to be when I was on called in the WNL that time, and R-Truth came out with the Confederate uniform, and things got a little bit slavish, and I think that's probably one of the best moments I've ever had on the show. So, again, I'm wanting to say, you know, thanks to JJ for all he's done for the network, you know, for the things he's done for me, you know, to me and all the other guys on the network. So, again, I want to say, you know, rest in peace to his father. That's a tough one, but, you know, I know he's going to recover, but that is a tough guy, so that's all for me.
Hey, JJ, it's Tim McCain or Pitbull from the chat. I just wanted to call and say thank you. You know, whether it be a sudden outburst from a string of roll-ups or putting on some of the best wrestling interviews I've ever heard. It's some of the most entertaining stuff. I enjoy it. It's worth every second to listen to. Again, I want to say thank you. Hope all is well.
Hey, guys, this is Ace Attitude from the chat. Just calling to tell JJ Sexay that we're all supporting him, man. He's in our prayers. Take as much time as he needs, man, because the real family comes first. As far as favorite JJ moments go, man, it's hard to choose. There's been so many of them. But I think the one that probably had me laughing the hardest was probably the whole slavish incident from WNL. But like I said, there's so many of them, man, and we know that when he's getting ready to come back, that Mr. Money on the mic will be a whole lot more.
Hey, JJ, what's up, man? This your boy Big Mike, man. Just want to welcome you back to the network, man, you know. Sorry about the passing of your dad. I know how it is, man. I lost my pops 2 years ago, man. We wasn't on the best of terms, but, you know, I still miss him every day, man. So, you know, just want to welcome you back, you know. Find my best JJ moment. Man, it's every Monday night I get to listen to you and Trey, man, because, you know, I can be having a terrible, terrible week, you know, terrible day, you know. Only thing I look forward to sometimes is listen to the show, man. So, you know, good to have you back. You take care, man.
JJ, 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 what can I say? Well, let me start off this way. My girlfriend and I want to welcome you back home. And also on a personal note, I want to thank you for just being yourself, whether on the air, off the air, you know, on Skype, on Facebook, Twitter, whatever the case may be. I just want to thank you for being you, JJ. That's what makes you not only a great host, but a great man. This is coming from Mr. Excitement, Bobby Strauss, and his girlfriend, who I affectionately like to call Ms. Excitement. Anyway, welcome home, brother. You have a great one.
Hey, JJ, this is L Train. I was calling to leave this message that Train set up for everybody to give our condolences for what happened to your dad. I'm real sorry to hear, man. As far as just how tough a time this has been for you having to deal with all this, I just want to let you know, man, you know, everybody, every host on the network, every listener on the network, every fan you got, we're all here to support you, man. I mean, you bring us entertainment every time you get on the airwaves to talk about wrestling or any old thing that crosses your mind. I mean, it's just past the one-year mark that I've been a fan of this network ever since I first listened to that very first episode of Unplugged that I called into, and have just been entertained every time I've listened to the shows and hearing your and Trey and everybody's insight on wrestling. And every time you just give us something to chuckle about, something for us new to learn. I mean, we definitely appreciate everything you do here, every bit of time that you give for us, every time that you take time out of your life to just bring some joy to us. We definitely appreciate it, and we're definitely here to make sure that you have some joy, man, because you know, you've always got support from Trey and Krelly and all the other hosts, us, the listeners, Harmony, your kids. I know this is a tough time for you to go through, but we've got your back, man, because, you know, you do so much for us. So with all the times you've been able to make us laugh, open with anything we can do to help, even give you a little bit of laughter in some way, shape, or form, because I think for me personally, being able to laugh even when things are becoming so tough and, you know, it's hard to really find joy in something that's so tragic to suddenly have happen. If you're able to put a smile on and laugh in some way, I think that's very important, because I think laughter is probably one of the most, you know, underrated things in the world. Like, if you're able to just kick back and have a good laugh with somebody, I think that can make a world of difference. And I'm hoping that eventually, as sad as this is, I hope you'll be able to get a smile going again and just be able to laugh and have a great time with everybody, because we definitely don't want to see you down, man. We're hoping that you'll be able to be the fun-loving guy we've always been able to chuckle along with, and that everything will be good for you.
Hey, this is Big Mick from the chat. I just wanted to welcome JJ Sexy back and tell him how much we missed him, man. And my favorite moment from SNS Radio has to be when JJ went off on Unplugged with Hulk Hogan showing his wiener. Big ups to JJ. Love you, man. Welcome back, brother.
Hello, everybody. This is Mindwipe, the Rasputin of all things sci-fi and gaming. Welcoming back the host of the four-time People's Choice of the Year. The show that is WNL Wrestling News Live, and its primary host, you know him, you love him, it is
Mr.
Money on the Mic, JJ Sexy. I just want to take some time out, though, all joking aside, to wish you well, my friend. It's been not the same with you on the network while you've been going through your difficult time. My heart and condolences over the loss of your father, but it's a pleasure, as always, to have you back, my friend. Keep up the great work, and I can't wait to see the simulated SNS Royal Rumble when you finally get around to doing it. More people have got your back than I think even you realize, my friend. Keep your spirits up. My best to your family and your children, from me and my boys all the way over in the UK. Mindwipe out.
And there you have it.
I don't know what to say. I mean, first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody that put that together. It actually brought a little tear to my eye and a big smile to my face. I'm serious. You know, to go through the things that I've gone through in the last couple of weeks, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. It's been rough. My hope was that I was going to be able to go home this summer for a little bit and visit family and see my dad again. And unfortunately, that wasn't able to happen. You know, immigration's been dragging its feet for a while, but, you know, I think we finally leaped a hurdle, and I think that everything's going to be worked out, hopefully by summertime. And, you know, the last time I saw my dad was in 2006, and it was the weekend that Harmy and I drove up. She flew down to Arkansas. We loaded up the car, and I moved here to Calgary, and that was the last time that I saw my dad. And, I mean, I've talked to him probably within a two-week period. I didn't go 2 weeks without talking to the man. I mean, I literally would call him all the time. I always made sure that we were close, that we talked, and that, you know, he was instrumental talking to the girls. And my biggest regret with my dad is that he didn't get an opportunity to meet Lexi. I mean, he talked to her on the phone. He's seen pictures of her, but he never actually got a chance to, you know, to hold her, to hug her. And that's something I'm always going to kind of regret. And it's unfortunate. But I know that he's in a better place. He's not hurting anymore. So it's something that I'm dealing with, and it gets easier every day. But I still have a gaping hole in my heart right now. And I want to thank every one of you that not only sent in your messages to Trey to put that together, but everyone on the Facebook page that, you know, that gave me any kind of support. I'm glad that you guys are an extension of my family. I appreciate everything that you've done, and I won't forget it, and I thank you very much for it.
Well, you know, it was just one of those deals where I kind of felt like I could older brother you there for a minute, because I've been through it already, and I know what it's like. And like I said, it doesn't ever, you know, go away. It does get easier, but it never goes away. And you know, I just wanted to make sure you knew that while you were gone, that you had a family here that was thinking about you, as well as your family in Calgary and your family with you there in Arkansas. And it's just good to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's good to, you know, get business as usual, to kind of take my mind off of things. I will
now
say,
you're firing people and causing all kinds of drama and shit.
Oh, I hadn't fired anybody. Well, I'll address that in a second. But I do want to say one thing that I'm very proud of, and that's that, you know, my dad spent 20 years in the Air Force, and I was very proud of his tenure there. I know he retired from the Air Force, and I think it was 1991. We were living in Aurora, Colorado, Denver, Colorado. It's a suburb right outside of Denver, Aurora, and that's where Lowry Air Force Base was. And they were getting ready to close that base down, and that was kind of his last hurrah with the Air Force. And we moved back to Arkansas, which is where he grew up. It's where he was born, and it's where I spent the majority of my life. I think I spent about 15 to 16 years of my life living in Arkansas. And we went back in 1991, and, you know, I was there until I left to go live in Oklahoma for a few years and then moved to Calgary. But the one thing that I'm happy with is that my dad wanted to have a military honors funeral, and I'm glad that we were able to do that for him. Because he did have that funeral, and I'll never forget being presented the American flag by the honor guard who did the ceremony, and the three bullets representing the three volleys. I've never been so more proud of my father than I was at that moment, knowing that 20 years he put in serving his country, and they did him right in the end. And you know, I'm very proud of that fact.
Well, amen to that.
So, I have that with me. I'm going to be putting together a memorial here at my house, since I'm not in the States, to go to his gravesite, you know, with the flag and 8x10 and all that stuff. I mean, he'll never be forgotten. He'll always be a part of my life. And, you know, every day I look in the mirror, I see him, you know, because we look like, I mean, I'm the spit from his mouth. I always have been. And, you know, so he's always here, and that's what means the most to me, knowing that I have friends like you guys, Trey, and of course my wife, my kids, to back me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Speaking of dads and all that, my dad's birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so I'll have to call him up tomorrow and wish Papa Dog a happy. Let's see, it's 2012, so he's 62. tomorrow.
Wow.
You know, and probably out drinking right now.
Well, do more than call him. Go see him. Take him out to lunch. Do something.
Yeah, I probably will. We'll probably do the typical Carl's Cuddy Island. I didn't sit there and tell you about all the things I'm doing wrong.
Well, you know, it's funny because I kept thinking the whole way, because basically I had a hand in eulogizing my father at the funeral. I didn't want some preacher that had never met my dad or didn't know anything about him to go up there and basically, you know, talk about him.
Right.
My Uncle Billy is a preacher, and Billy did the majority of the eulogy. And then, of course, I came up and said what I wanted to say, and my brother did his part. And, you know, and I kept thinking of what's a good story that I could tell everybody, because I wanted to do something funny, you know, to kind of get things out there. And I did tell a funny story. Mm-hmm. But there was one story in particular that I wanted to tell, but I couldn't tell it. I couldn't tell it because of the people there, and I didn't feel like it was appropriate. But I could tell that story on Wrestling News Live. And I think you all get a kick out of it. I may have said this before, but I'm going to go ahead and do this real quick. I remember back in the early 90s, I'm going to say 91, 92-ish, we lived in Little Rock, Arkansas. And you've heard me talk about my good friend David Shipps, my best friend. He came over one Saturday because we're going to go to Putt-Putt and play WrestleFest and do the typical Saturday routine. So it's me, Dave, and Wally, my other good friend. And I guess they got there about 9 o'clock in the morning, and you know, my dad's sitting on the couch, you know, getting ready to watch football all day on a Saturday. And it's kind of going through a rough period because my stepmom and him are separated. And I don't know how this came about, but he started talking just out of the blue about his sex life with my stepmother, okay? While my friends are there, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is really happening. You know, I'm like, okay, guys, well, let's go. And my dad goes into this speech about how he'll be okay. And he pulled out his right hand. He pulled it up, like, and he goes, as long as I have this, I'll be okay. And no sooner did he do that, I looked at Dave and Wally. I said, all right, let's go. And so to this day, Wally and Dave still rib me about that. You know, as long as we have this, we'll be okay. just one of those you know, moments that your dad just kind of mortifies you. But when I think back on it, it's always a funny story to talk about. And, you know, I would have said that at the funeral, but probably wouldn't have went over so well. So couldn't do it.
Yeah. Probably been a little ill-received.
Probably so. But all in all, like I said, it's been rough. I'm doing better. I'm glad to be back. And, you know, we're gonna make this network bigger than it's ever been this year. I promise you that.
A lot of changes, but changes for the better.
And I guess I'll go ahead and address this now, because I know that Crelly had posted on Facebook that he's officially gone from Unplugged. He is. And I'm going to explain to you what's going on. I don't want anybody to be thinking the worst here. I know everybody's going crazy, wondering what's going on with that. Well, here's the situation. Crelly, he works now, and he has to get up early in the morning. And as you know, he lives in the UK, so the schedule is kind of different. And he's usually, yeah, it's like 4 in the morning when we do Unplug sometimes, right? So he's got to get sleep so he can get up in the morning and go to work. And he's missed a lot of Unplugged recently. And he did have Ashley fill in, and he's going to fill in for the next couple of weeks. But basically, it's like this. I know his focus hasn't been with Unplugged because he's doing a podcast where he tapes the podcast, and it really doesn't affect his schedule so much. So I talked with Crelly, and we both came to the decision that it would be best to remove him from Unplugged. However, he's not leaving the network. And in fact, I'll go ahead and make this announcement now. I'm bringing back Running the Ropes to the SNS Radio Network because, you know, I want to keep Crelly on the network. He does help out with interviews. This is a show that he is a part of, and I don't really have an issue with Maverick. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them back aboard and let them do Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network. So that is where Crelly is going. So he's not gone from the network. Everybody don't freak out. Crelly's still here. If you don't like Crelly, sorry. He's still here.
Damn, I thought we got rid of him.
Sorry. But that's where we're at with that. Like I said, more changes are coming. More shows might be added. Lots of mix-ups might be happening. Just wait and see. But I guarantee you 2012 is going to be a banner year for us. We've been getting bigger and better each year. And, you know, I love that you guys are so supportive and you've said great things and you do give us the support that, you know, a lot of times we don't ask for. And I'm just glad that you're actually tuning in to hear our voices. I mean, because sometimes I don't know why you do it, but we appreciate you regardless.
All right.
So.
Going to be a good year for the network.
It's going to be a great year. But I tell you what, why don't we go ahead and hit this final break, come back, take some phone calls and emails before we skate out of here, because I know you got to go to work soon.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that said, let's go ahead and hit this last break. We'll be right back with more Wrestling News Live right after this.
This is Cowboy James Storm, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and of course some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
At this time, I would like to introduce to you...
Oh, he may not get up!
The baddest man!
And most dominant world champion in boxing's history.
And he's right on the money.
And the most controversial athlete of the 20th century, Mike Tyson, created a media hailstorm wherever he went.
Mike Tyson is the hottest thing in sports.
But when Tyson appeared at the 1998 Royal Rumble and on Raw the next night, the road to WrestleMania 14 took an unexpected turn.
At WrestleMania, Iron Mike Tyson.
You step in this ring, you're messing with Stone Cold Steve Austin, so here's to ya.
Whoa! Whoa! Here we go!
Here we go! Tyson Austin! Tyson Austin!
Iron Mike Tyson is back in the fight, this time on a wrestling mat.
Mike Tyson is a judge.
He's the enforcer.
Tyson will be the so-called enforcer.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Mike Tyson.
WrestleMania.
With a celebrity guest garnering as much attention to WrestleMania 14 as the main event itself, all eyes were on Tyson at ringside for one of the most important matches in WWE history.
The starter, Mike Tyson in. Austin is the champion. The Austin era has begun.
A world champion, boxing legend, pop culture icon.
Just a matter of opinion.
Tyson remains one of the most recognizable faces and names in all of sports.
Vintage Tyson!
It is our privilege to induct the baddest man on the planet into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2012.
If they don't put me in the Hall of Fame, they shouldn't have a Hall of Fame.
Iron Mike Tyson.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
Okay, folks, this is Philip Mindwipe Morris here, reminding you that basically I don't give a monkey's butt fuck when it comes to actually doing stupid adverts like this, but nonetheless, I have to do one anyway, reminding each and every listener here to check out the Elite Force podcast. It's the sci-fi podcast that boldly goes where no fucker has gone before and hopefully never again. So, be sure to check it out each and every single midweek with Chuck W. and with William Walkie Walker and myself, laying it down as we see in the realm of science fiction. That be from movies to television to audiobooks, music, etc., etc. So check it out each and every week, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network, Chris Jones Gaming Network, and the EliteForcePodcast.com. Also available on iTunes. Check it out. I'm not doing another one of these damn adverts, so you better have to check it out. Bye for now.
Remember that there are always possibilities. Live long and play longer.
This is Anarchia, your TNA World Tag Team Champion, and you are listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Orale!
All right, we're back. Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. Anarchia, breaking it down for all my homies out there.
All your homies in Togoland.
That's right. Latinos.
For all the Latinos.
I don't know who's the better Latino tag team. Epico and Primo or Mexican America. I mean, come on, really.
I'd take Mexican America in a heartbeat.
How do you think they feel being ripped off by the WWE? Think they like that? I'm just curious. Would like to know their thoughts on it.
I mean, we haven't seen them in months, so who knows?
Well, I know that Running the Ropes is going to be having a big interview with Hernandez, so maybe that can be asked on their show.
Well, that'd be cool, yeah, since he doesn't like us.
Yeah, there's a long story there. I don't know what happened with Hernandez, but apparently he changed his schedule. We canceled a show once because something came up and we weren't able to do the show. And so he was not happy with us and just decided that we weren't worth his time. So, I don't know, whatever. It is what it is.
Oh, well.
Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. You guys want to give us a call and let us know what you think of the show, what you thought of Raw, what you think of anything, really. I mean, that's what the line's there for. 501.
Place your bets. Go ahead.
501-588-7957 is the number to call. If you have a Skype, hit us up on the Sunday Night Showdown. If you are in the chat room and you want a free call, use the Google Voice widget. You just basically put in your phone number and your name. And guess what? They call you and connect you to my Skype line. So it's pretty easy to do.
He said widget.
Widget.
So place your bets on who the first call is going to be.
Place my bets?
Type it to me. Don't tell me because I don't want it to go out on the air.
Okay. Well, I've already got the first call, so it...
Well, no. Well, then you already know. All right, I'm going to type it to you.
Okay.
And we'll see how accurate I am.
I'm pretty accurate. I knew exactly who it was going to be. It is not.
Oh, it's not?
It is not.
All right, well, welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who the hell is this?
This is Anthony.
Oh, my second guest.
He was my first guest before the phone even rang, but Anthony is the man of the hour. What's going on, Anthony?
Fine, and it was touching that you got all those reports and calls and that from the people in the that are fans of the network. I would send it to you, but unfortunately, I'm one of those people that don't have Facebook or Twitter, so I probably never send one.
You got a bad connection tonight, man. You're breaking in and out. I hear you, but you sound like Trey and R2-D2 sometimes.
You sound like Browser Window.
Oh, can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
I'm just saying that it was good that you got a sign of all those people saying that giving you support about during your whole issue right now. Your dad.
I mean, Andy, why don't you try to hang up and call us back? You're breaking up real bad, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, call us back, like, Anthony.
Sounds like you're going over a bumpy road or something.
All right.
I hope he's not on a cell phone, but I mean, he might be. I don't know. That's weird. Usually his calls are pretty good. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Welcome, gentlemen. Good evening. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm perfectly fine. I think I don't need any introduction, but just in case, I'm the Spug guy, you know.
I was just about to say, this is Spug. I knew the voice. At first, I didn't recognize you, but yeah, I got it. How you been?
What the fuck you doing, man?
Good. I'm just up rearranging my office, you know. Not really having to work until winter's over, so it's all good.
Well, JSK and I used to have a saying whenever somebody would say, "What are you doing?" and we were in the bathroom, we'd say, "Painting the office."
No, I legitimately have an office in my house, and I decided it was time to rearrange it today, so I spent pretty much all day doing that.
Well, when you get done, come to my house and rearrange my living room, because I've been meaning to do it for about a week and a half.
You know, I tell you what, though, watching WWE and the way they're doing things, I think that they're running into the risk of overbooking WrestleMania, and it scares me.
It's a possibility.
Because if you think about it now, first you had Rock and Cena, then you had... Now you have Punk Jericho, which, again, another big profile match. And now you're throwing a Hell in a Cell on top of it, and Shaq. To me, it just seems that the reaction that they got from last year's Mania, especially the main event with the crowd being dead after what we witnessed with Triple H and Undertaker, just really, you know, suck the life out of the crowd. And I think now they're doing too much to keep the crowd up, and it's going to have the opposite reaction. You're going to wind up with a dead crowd three quarters or halfway through that pay-per-view. And
I challenge that, and I'll tell you why. I can tell you from what you're saying and you know, what's going on, I think that they are protecting themselves by booking this show the way they are, because if I were to book this show with what I know, Jericho and Punk would go on before Hell in the Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd have my Hell in the Cell. And then I would have my SmackDown title match, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. Then I would follow that with Punk and Jericho. Then I would follow that with the Hell in the Cell. And I would follow the Hell in the Cell with Rock Cena, because you know that the Rock's going to be over like Rover, and he's going to get more cheers coming through the curtain than anybody on the entire roster that night.
But, all right, we've all watched wrestling for a very long time, and a few of us are in the business or have been in the business. And
right.
You have to have an ebb. And if you look at the way they're booking it, they're just booking all high points throughout the card. There's no downtime. You have to give the crowd.
But if you're going to do that at any pay-per-view, if you're going to do that at any show, it needs to be WrestleMania.
I'm not disagreeing that on paper it looks like a phenomenal card. It really does. In practice,
you're gonna have a women's title match. You're gonna have a tag team title match.
Both of those
are piss breaks to me.
See, I disagree. I think matches like that, WrestleMania, WrestleMania 3 with Savage and Steamboat proves that a piss break match can steal the show.
That's true.
I just think, though, that you have to have moments in the... Being careful with booking the way that that pay-per-view is just match placement. You got to make sure that you're not backloading or putting too much in one section. You know, and to me,
well, you also have to keep in mind that before every match, they're going to do a 5-minute rundown of what got us to that point. So the crowd's going to have a chance to chill between each match.
Well, okay, I look at it like this, and I agree with what Spug's saying. I mean, because if you look at the card now, you've got Triple H, Taker, Hell in the Cell. You've got Rock and Cena, which should be the main event. You've got the two title matches, which right now is overshadowed by everything else on the card. You've got the high-profile speculation that you may have Shaquille O'Neal in the Big Show. You're also going to have a Money in the Bank ladder match, which is also another high-spot match that the crowd needs to come down from. And I agree with what he's saying. I mean, he's right. I mean, but when I look at this card, the title matches are the lowest denominator on the whole fucking card.
Well, and I understand that. But I also think that at WrestleMania, each match should be a big match.
They should.
I don't disagree with you on that point. I think every match should have a big match feel. But I also think that in today's day and age of wrestling fan, with the attention span of a gnat, you really run the risk of losing the crowd. And if I'm Vince McMahon, which won my checking account, which I was, I am taking that Hell in a Cell and putting it, that's the last match. I know we've been banked on Rock Cena for a year, but to be quite honest, I think the fans could care less about that match.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You put Rock Cena maybe second to last, somewhere in there, and save that Hell in a Cell for last. Because with the ladder match, you want to make sure that that ladder match and that Hell in a Cell aren't too close together either. They're just running a real thin line.
Well, I suggest they start the show with the ladder match.
No, absolutely. That you start the show with the Money in the Bank.
Yeah. I think as your insurance policy, so you don't have a Triple H Chris Jericho moment, that you put Hell in the Cell next to last, and you put Rock Cena last, because I guarantee you, no matter how good Hell in the Cell is, the minute you hear "If you smell," the crowd's gonna go batshit fucking nuts because it's in Miami.
Well, it's almost like the WrestleMania 23 scenario where you had Batista and Undertaker that, in my opinion, should have been the main event of that pay per view, but
they stole the show.
They stole the show, but you know, Shawn Michaels and John Cena was the main event.
Right.
And I think you're going to run that same risk. But at the same time, if you look back to, what was it, WrestleMania 18, when Hogan and Rock...
Are you sure, JJ? I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
But I thought John Cena and Shawn Michaels took place earlier in that card.
No, they were the main event.
It was the main event, dude.
They were the main... Okay. No. I'm just... For some reason, I might have mixed up. I just thought, because I still vividly in my head, I can see Shawn Michaels going, "Let's get this shit show over with, Cena. I got a job to do."
Yeah, no, that was the main event. That was the ending of the show. So,
and there was a point in time where, at the beginning of the Triple H or the beginning of the Batista Undertaker match, it was either JJ or myself. One of us said that this has a very dark horse chance at being match of the night.
And it was, you know, for all intents and purposes. I mean, Batista has never been a dynamo in the ring, but that match with The Undertaker was really special and really stood out.
Because Undertaker knows how... Undertaker got a decent match out of Giant Gonzalez.
Well, that's true.
So, I think...
But I think, I think, I think for what you're worried about though, Spug, I think for all intents and purposes, I think if you're gonna have that pay per view where everything is just oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, WrestleMania needs to be that way. And for the same fact that it hasn't been that way in years.
Well, and I see where you're going with that, but you do need a cool down because there's no way you're going to be jacked for 3 hours.
Well, you're going to have one. You're going to have a women's title match. You're going to have a tag team match, a division where they'll just put anybody together. Case in point, tonight's tag team match.
Well, you say that, but what if, per se, they...
You're going to tell me that the Epico, Primo, and the KKK are going to steal the show?
No, listen. Think about it. The women's match. What if, just by some fluke miracle, they get Trish Stratus to come back and work a program with Beth Phoenix, and those two put on a fucking clinic and arguably have the best Divas match or best ever. Women's wrestling match we've ever seen, then the crowd's not going to die out. They're still going to be pretty hyped up. What if they have Beth Phoenix and Awesome Kong, and we still have that same feel where it's just an amazing match? I mean, I just kind of feel like they've overbooked it to this point. Was I expecting Hell in a Cell tonight? Absolutely not. Am I excited about it? Yeah, I am. But
I wonder why. I mean, I wonder why I'm on such a different viewpoint than you guys. I mean, I'm normally not that far off from you, JJ, and I feel like if you're going to have something called Wrestle Fucking Mania, by God, have Wrestle Fucking Mania.
No, I agree. But I can't think of a WrestleMania that's been that stacked. Ever.
That's the thing, Trey. I agree with you that it should always have a big fight feel. It should always have the big show feel. But you have to give the crowd time to calm down, and I think that they're running the risk of just really, you know, blowing the crowd out at some point during that show with how many high points they have.
I agree. But I also see them.
Absolutely.
I also see them playing the same tired ass fucking vignettes of The Rock training, Cena training, going back to Cena's gym, talking to his fucking butt buddies, showing The Rock doing his shit in Hollywood and training. And then every match, between matches, you're going to get 5 to 10 minutes of this is why we're here. This is where it started. You know, and I think that if you're going to do that, then by God, every match ought to fucking be main event status because you're wasting that much of my time setting up shit I've already seen.
That you've got the Hall of Fame and the inductees that come out. That's true.
Right.
I also wanted to say this before I jet it out of here real quick because I don't want to take up too much of your air time. But I think Michael Cole botched it tonight. I really do. Because if you watch Undertaker when Triple H says Hell in a Cell, Undertaker just kind of chuckles and pats him on the shoulder and walks out of the ring. And to me, watching it on my TV was sort of a signal from the Undertaker of, yeah, not quite. And that was Undertaker turning Triple H down, to me. And then all of a sudden, the next commercial break goes, Michael Cole's, it's confirmed, it's confirmed. I'm like, I bet you they were going to carry that one more week, Michael Cole, and you just kind of flubbed that up.
Well, in a perfect world, maybe, but I saw it the way I saw it was Triple H saying Hell in the Cell. Undertaker gave that shit-eating grin and walked out as if to say, got ya.
Could be. Like I said, it's just interpretation, but again, I'm looking forward to that. I was a big proponent of them wrestling again this year, so we will see. But JJ, I'm sorry to hear about your dad, dude. I know we talked on Facebook a little bit when it happened. I'm glad everything worked out. I hope you guys are successful over here, and have a good night.
Thanks, Bugman. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Later.
I'm glad you didn't tell the jack-off story at your dad's funeral.
I'm sure everybody else is glad about that, too. Because that would have been awkward.
Yeah.
Probably.
I can hear a... fucking cricket farting segment going on at the funeral.
Yes, that would have been rough. I think the story that I told at my dad's funeral was the one where I put Dave's car through a fence. I know you've heard me tell that story. And
I'm surprised you didn't tell the Booker T. I'm coming for you, nigga.
Well, that had nothing to do with my dad. Otherwise, I would have.
But, yeah, but I could just see you telling that story.
Yeah, probably. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to wrap things up here in a minute. But welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hey, DJ.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. I had an epiphany today. I was thinking about Mania, and I was thinking this whole Rock Cena bullshit match, which I personally didn't want to happen because I wanted Cena to, I wanted him to go heel, but you know, that's never going to happen with this company. He's their, you know, he's their money maker for like the past 10 years, but I really wanted to see The Rock come back. And, you know, I wanted to see Rock versus Undertaker, to be really honest with you. You know, I don't want to see Undertaker versus Triple H, but, you know, this is going to be his last match because obviously Sting isn't coming back forever. He's never coming to the WWE, so he says.
Oh, I don't think he said he would never do it.
Well, he would need to get paid a lot of money.
Well, Sting's deal is this, and I don't blame him. You want me to come in, earn a paycheck, to lay on my back in the highest profile match, you know, ever in the fans' eyes. You know, all of wrestling wants to see Sting and Taker. And you want me to come in and work a program where I'm going to be a loser so that the WWE audience, to the WWE fans, you know, that kills my legacy. I see his point. You know, at the same time, you know, I also see that he takes a lot of pride in being the one guy Vince couldn't buy.
True that.
You don't think Vince would like be like, Sting, I want you to come in and I want you to beat the Undertaker. You know, would the fans freak out if that ever happened?
Yeah, Sting wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't see Sting in that role. I mean, I would love to see Sting come in and do something, but I mean, right now it looks like he's actually kind of done with TNA.
Well, and that's the problem. That's the problem with this match. And I'm talking about the streak. Because to me, that streak is as big, if not bigger, than any title match on WrestleMania. And the problem with that is, you know, going in, just like as good as they could do. They could do a million times. They did a great job tonight in selling that match and getting people involved and intrigued. But they could do a million times better than that, and I still wouldn't be as big on that match because it's almost a guaranteed loss for anybody that wrestles The Undertaker.
That's true.
And with that being the case, when I know the outcome of the match before the match, then I'm done with that match. I don't want to see. And what's going to happen is Undertaker's going to beat Triple H in an epic battle, and he'll be gone all year next year. And after the Rumble, Undertaker will come back to fight somebody else, and that somebody else will job to Triple or will job to Undertaker.
See, I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I think that he's going to have this tremendously bloody battle at Hell in a Cell. And yes, I said bloody. Hell in a Cell is going to be bloody at WrestleMania this year. It has to be with The Undertaker and Triple H involved. I mean, you cheapen it. If you're going to go to the point of having this match, right. I mean, it is Hell in the Cell. The Undertaker and Triple H have bled gallons of blood in this match in the past. Go back and look at the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match from No Mercy. I was there live in Little Rock when that match happened. Undertaker was a bloody mess. Triple H has been busted open in several of them. I feel like they're really going to have to deliver to make this match live up to the hype. And Hell in a Cell, you're going to need sacrifices are going to be needed to make, is what I'm trying to say. And I don't think that he's going to come back the next year. I think this is it. I think that he's going to be done. He's not going to lose the match, but I think he's going to come out on Raw the next night and going to retire. I think that's it. It's got to be.
I hope you're right.
I mean,
on all accounts.
I know that people
but
would love to. Go ahead, DJ.
You don't. Well, you know how we're in a PG universe right now? Do you think the WWE will allow blood in this match? That's my only question. Do you think they will?
Well, it's pay-per-view.
But remember, the last pay-per-views, they actually black. Well, I think it's only the DVDs where they black and white it. Do you think they'll have a, you know, wrestler gloves in the rings and all that, you know?
Well,
I just don't see the blood in this match.
They didn't black out Kofi Kingston last night, and the ref, Jack Doan, put on gloves. So I'm sure it'll happen in Mania.
It's just, if this, I hope it does have blood. I mean, I want to see blood all over the ring before I see, you know, Rock and Cena do their thing. If this is going to happen, it has to be the main event. Rock and Cena does not have to be main eventing.
But it's going to be. It has to be because they put their hype into it for the last year.
Yeah,
I mean, you knew last year going into it that Rock and John Cena were going to main event this pay-per-view. Again, I feel bad for Punk and Jericho, and I feel bad for Brian and Sheamus because they are the fucking lower card on this pay-per-view.
And that's what CM Punk has said many, many interviews and many, many tweets and many, many interviews or messages is that, you know, he's taking shots at The Rock because this is a pay-per-view that should be for the people that carried the company all year, not somebody to come back and do a one-off.
Exactly, and he's right. I mean, like I was saying with Spug earlier, it's like the, you know, it's like the Rock and Hogan thing from WrestleMania 18. You know, Jericho and Triple H had a great match, but the problem is they followed up that match. So the WWE is going to learn from their mistakes and make Rock and Cena the main event. But in the process, I think Triple H and The Undertaker is going to blow them away.
Yeah, I think Undertaker and Triple H held themselves is going to be something that we remember for a long, long time.
I mean, they may as well go back to calling this a triple main event or something, you know, and have them involved. And if Shaq and Big Show gets involved, look for that to be part of that triple main event. I'm telling you, the titles are not even, they mean nothing at WrestleMania this year. They are bottom of the fucking card.
Well, whenever Rock went against was that a main event match, or was that a mid-card match?
Which match was this?
Hogan versus Rock at 18.
It was just a special attraction match. It wasn't even a... It was just the fact that you thought you would never get a chance to see The Rock versus Hulk Hogan at a pay-per-view. So that's what it was, pretty much.
So it wasn't a big marquee match like Cena versus Rock. Basically, it was just like, we're just going to throw these guys in the ring, 15 minutes, they do this thing. NWO attacks, blah, blah, blah. And then they walk away together.
Right.
Now, let's say The Rock and Cena, it's a hell of a match. Do you think they will walk the ring together, or do you think they will give each other the eye for next week's episode leading into maybe the next fight at SummerSlam, if that's true?
I don't know. If they're going to best of three, it'll be interesting. I mean, I see Cena going over at Mania, and I see Rock winning at SummerSlam. And then the rubber match being WrestleMania next year with Cena going over finally.
Would you want that as a wrestling fan? Would you want to see this two times or one and that's it?
I would rather see one and nothing, and I'd rather not see The Rock lose to John Cena, but that's what's going to happen. There's no end game for Rock to get the win. There's no reason for him to do this. He's coming back to put John Cena over. So, I mean, if Rock was back full-time, I'd love it, but he's not. And there's nothing he can prove. He's done everything. So.
All right.
All right,
well,
DJ.
Well, you have a good night. I'm glad that you're back, DJ. And you boys have a good night.
All right, man. Thanks. All right. We've got one more call here. We're going to make this brief because Trey's got to go. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What's up, fellas? It's Mike, man. Good to hear our fellas back together again, man.
That's good.
What's up, dude?
I don't know, man. I feel passing time at work.
Well, at least you're only passing time and not passing gas.
Yeah, don't
better than passing time.
Don't be pulling no Natalia at work. Don't want to hear about that.
Hey, but let me go and get into it. You know, and WrestleMania, it's 4 hours, not three, right?
Yeah, it's 4 hours.
Well, yeah. So,
by the time it's all over with, it might be five. Who knows?
Yeah, shit.
You know what? You're going to see people falling asleep in the fucking crowd. If it's as hyped up as we think, people are just going to be so fucking spent, man. Like, you know, yeah. You're going to have everybody just sleeping. They're like, what happened to the crowd? Well, they're fucking excited out, man. They're all fucking dead.
But I say the reason the crowd was dead last year during the main event of Cena and Miz, because that match sucked. I'm sorry. I like the Miz, but I never thought I don't think he was in no position where he could carry a main event WrestleMania, The reason I say that, because if you look at the main events at WrestleMania that Cena had with Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Batista, those were great matches. Even with The Rock, that match still sucked last year. I'm sorry. That's why the crowd was asleep.
Yeah.
What's your opinion? I'm sorry. The Miz just wasn't ready to carry, to carry a big match like that. It just totally sucked. So that's my opinion on that. But
I don't know. I thought he did okay. I mean, for what it was worth, I mean, he went in as the champion and he retained his belt. You know, I thought he did a good job. I mean, it's a different WWE than it was when we grew up into it, but I didn't really have a problem with it. I think he's fallen quite a bit since then.
I mean, yeah, that kind of happens when you make a botch like that on national TV, what he did with Our Truth a couple of months ago. I mean, I looked at it over and over again. It's like he just ran out the way. What you think? Like, he didn't try to catch me. Like, you're like, holy shit, let me get out the way. I mean,
holy shit, it's red and black. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, basically. He just so, I don't know what happened. You think he just had a mental lapse or something?
1 second, guys. What the fuck?
Hello?
I fucking hate when you can't mute things on here. Go ahead, sorry. Fuck.
I thought you were playing a clip. I was like, what the fuck is this?
This is the Miz's awful performance from WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, but one more. And like we said, it's going to be new things this year. JJ, you got to give TNA one more try. I mean, just one pick. It has gotten better. If you look at the show now, I know it's only been a couple of weeks, but it's totally different. I mean, Trayvon vouched for it. You got to give it one more try. It's not the TNA that you left. Right now, they has Robert Roode. He's everything you want in the heel champion. He's cowardly, but yet he still got this sadistic Rufus side to him. That show Thursday was great. I mean, you just got to get one more try. One paper.
Well, I
guarantee
you. He put the fucking boots to Sting to end the show, didn't he?
Yeah. And then what I liked about him is he pinned Jeff Hardy. They had a match, and he pinned Jeff Hardy. And to make it legit, it was a no disqualification match. So even though Kurt Angle in the field was still no disqualification, so he still got a clean pin over Jeff Hardy. So, I mean, like, man, it's a totally different show.
True that. Well, I mean, like I said, I'll probably give it a shot, but all right, Mike.
One more shot.
We appreciate the call, my friend. I got to let you go because Trey's got to get the fuck out of here.
I got to go work so I can pay some bills.
You pay bills, Trey? Right? I never thought.
Shit.
I thought only black people paid bills. I'm going to go on that note. Later, fellas.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
There's way too many fucking jokes I can make right now, but I don't want to have to explain myself out of the hole.
You're probably a bad idea, so... I do have our song of the night queued up here in just a second. That's what I was working on when the fucking shit went haywire. So,
well, that said, I need to part ways and see you guys next week. So I'm going to go ahead and take off. JJ, it's good to have you back. And I look forward to Unplugged this Friday.
Unplugged's going to be an interesting show, man. I got something I got to throw out there. I got to resolve something to somebody. So it's going to be interesting. Look for a very special edition of Unplugged this week. I'm going to be in rare form. Let's put it that way.
Awesome.
All right, Trey, I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, you guys, take care. We'll see you next week on Wrestling News Live.
On that note, guys, we are out of here. JSK, take us out, my friend.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people.
not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again, and I don't remember why I came.
Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS.